Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. We are the talk show that is made for men by men. Not even ladies would want to miss our show. And tonight, well, tonight's going to be very special and, once again, politically incorrect. Tonight we're going to talk about money, 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 money. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You know this is Straight Talk, the talk show made for men by men. And I am setting us up in the playing field. Welcome to Straight Talk. This is that talk show that is made for men. For men, by men. And not even ladies want to miss it. And tonight is going to be another politically incorrect discussion. And we're going to talk about money. Money, money, money. And we're going to talk about equality with money. And we're going to reexamine perhaps what men have been facing, and we now have a perfect example of what's happening in the world of business and economics. And we've been pretending that it's not happening. And what do I mean by that? Well, I will explain it in a second. So as you come in, gentlemen, ladies, smash that thumbs up bell, that like button. And if you haven't subscribed to my channel, now is a perfect time to smash that bell so you can subscribe and you'll get notifications when I come up. Of you, thanks for joining. This will be a very interesting to hear your thoughts on this. Very interesting. This topic is probably not as controversial as people think, except I think it's a great opportunity to give women what they really want. If women want equality, we should give that to them without hesitation. You deserve it. You've been asking for it for decades. And I think the time is here for you to have it. You've opened the door. You've helped men see what perhaps many of them didn't understand over the years. And I'll explain what I mean in a second. I will make it clear as day. So of you, you will not have any confusion when I give you my thoughts about this. And I understand, I've heard the stories from the women in the WNBA. So we're asking tonight, is the WNBA women's idea of equality? So there's all this chatter about equal pay for women in the WNBA. There's talk about women want to be compensated. They want greater compensation. I actually posted a picture that said salaries made annually by men and women in the NBA and WNBA. Looks like average salary for men is about $5.15 million. For women, it's $72,000. Minimum is $507,000 for men and $35,000 for women. Minimum for veteran is 1.4 million and 51,000 for women. And it seems women believe they are being unfairly compensated. That's a good question of you. You think people mimic culture and trends? I don't know if people mimic them as much as they are like parrots, and they just parrot what they're, like they don't even think about what they're doing. And you ask, I wonder if women try to be like men and live the club and sex culture of men. Without ever asking if there's a difference between the biology of men, they just do it without ever questioning, is it healthy? Is it in a woman's best interest to attempt to be like a man? Can she ever be like a man? Is the biology? Some people are saying there's this gender fluidity and men and women are exactly the same. When we really get into the biology and the differences and how the biology and biochemistry of a man and woman affects their decision making, it affects how they work together. It affects so many other things in life. And we pretend like it doesn't exist and we say, well, it's just social conditioning, and if we treat girls just like men, girls will do the same as men. And Sweden is probably the most egalitarian society on the planet, and they've tried that, and it isn't working the way people think. That's a good one, SW Penis Envy. Exactly. Amanda, thank you for joining. Yes, we are talking. The conversation tonight is the WNBA women's idea of equality. And I'm going to share a few things, articles, videos, and I want you to hear it straight from the women. So based on this idea and, you know, the conversations are kind of all over the place. But one of the things that you hear is women want to be paid as well as men. And I just read the difference in this is in general terms, right? Average salary for men in the WNBA, in the NBA is $5 million and is $72,000 for women. Women think they should be compensated much more. Minimum pay salary for men is $500,000 and is $35,000 for women. So what are they asking for? Are they going to go on strike? Will anyone miss it if they go on strike? So before I start sharing my screen, I want to take some calls. For those of you who would like to call in and chat live, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. I'll drop the link if you'd like in YouTube live stream, and you can come on there and you can chat live. But I'd like to take a call. I'm going to take the first caller, area code 605-605. You're live and on the air with Street Talk. What's your name and where you call from?
Hey, Ted. This is Joe. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? How you feeling? Thanks for calling.
Sure. Did you ever take a look at that song that I recommended? The one by Lana Del Rey?
I meant to tell you last week that I had already listened to it. She said, I want to take
okay.
all of your power.
Right. It's not about, I just want to have what's mine. I want what you've got from you. That is that's the mantra in that particular song, which I think can apply to a lot of females. But getting to your topic, I don't. You know what? If the women could actually get more salaries, then their attorneys would have gotten it for them. It seems to me that the players, they just don't seem to realize that salaries come by being meritorious. The salaries come dependent upon the revenue that they generate and the star power that they present. If they don't have any Michael Jordans that people look on as a real Michael Jordan of the WNBA, they're not going to attract the revenue, the advertising revenue, the TV revenue. If they don't attract that, they can't command the salaries. So for them to demand that they get equal salaries to men, I'm agreeing with you. Let them have equality. I think if they did that, they would probably get $10,000 a year instead of $35,000.
Well, here are my thoughts on this. I wrote this out. For some reason, women in the WNBA believe they should be paid salaries comparable to men. Is this an example of what men have been dealing with for the past 5 decades? Women have been claiming they can do whatever men can do, but better. And you know, when they've said they can do anything, I hope they understand the definition of anything. Anything is anything. But I'll go on, my thoughts. Mm-hmm. Therefore, women say they should be paid equal to men. Yet, there's no proof that WNBA players are equal to NBA players. Or is this an example of the fact women do not understand business and economics as well as they believe they do? Now, the stage, I'd say, is set for the perfect storm. The NBA franchise owners have an opportunity to give women exactly what they want, give them equality, completely divest in the WNBA and allow women to play for the NBA. Those who make the team can play. Men are instructed to treat the women the same as they treat women. And as a side, that means broken jaws, broken bone, whatever the hell happens, that's what happens on a battlefield. The women who have mm-hmm. equal stats as men will be compensated like men. Women who don't make the team have to walk away in silence. This would be a paradigm shift in our society. It would usher in a new and powerful idea of equality. Going forward, all women go through the same scrutiny as men in the NBA. It also means doctors, lawyers, dentists, engineers, architects, everything would have to perform the same as men if they want equality. Those who don't lose their jobs. On the surface, this may sound harsh. From another perspective, it would give women a dose of reality, and it would increase productivity in the workforce, which would make U.S. businesses more competitive and profitable than they have been in the past 5 decades. If women don't like it, they can easily start female-only companies in every industry. Then they can allow free markets to decide who the winners are. So those are my thoughts on this.
Well, I don't want them I guess if they can make the NBA, why not? If you got somebody who's actually 6'6", 6'7", they can take the punishment, because there's a lot of punishment that's dealt out depending upon the rules in the NBA. Some eras have had allowances that you could really punish. You can really be a defender and really punish your opponent. Other eras, you weren't allowed to hand check.
Right.
But let's say they were allowed to come into the NBA and they were, just the normal everyday routine of this particular era. If they could produce, if they could score, if they could shoot, could block and do assists, then fine. But if they can't, then let them go back to the WNBA and then realize that.
Shut the WNBA down.
Oh, you don't want them to go back at all.
Kill it. It's done. Right? So this is the consequence of you wanting equality. This is what it looks like. And if you're on your own, if you want to start it back up, get you a bunch of women who are going to invest and watch how many women step up to invest in the WNBA and put their money on the line.
Well, all right. So, at least they have an alternative where they can prove their equality by having women managers, women owners of franchises, women salesmen, et cetera. Okay. And then let's see if they will compete on the same level as men. And if they don't, then they shut up. If they do, congratulations.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And let that be the opening of everything. So a lot of people don't understand. Part of the reason our healthcare costs are so high is because female doctors don't want to put in the hours that men do. So let's just say a hospital hires 100 doctors, and they're all men, and they work insane hours, and they get the job done. Well, because women want to work this 9-to-5, or and they take 60% more sick leave when they have children, you may have to hire 150 women to do the same job as 100 doctors. What does that do for healthcare costs?
So does that actually happen? I mean, are you citing a real-life example of, let's say, in a community, there's 100?
Oh,
no kidding. I didn't know that.
The older women understood that the rules of engagement to be a doctor means you better put in those hours. And if you don't like those hours, start your own practice, and you get paid for what you produce, you know. And the younger women are saying, hell no, we won't do that. They're demanding what they call reasonable hours. And the men, you know, put in the hours and get the bonuses. The same with the legal profession. It's happening across the board, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't know that. Jesus, that's... For God's sake, that's such hypocrisy. You've actually entered the workforce, you've gone through college, gotten your degree, and now you want special privileges because you carry around a uterus. You don't want to work in the reality. You want to work in a reality show, but you don't want to work in real life. You don't want to put in the 60 hours or more that it takes to be an intern or a resident to become a doctor. You want special privileges? Oh, for God's sake.
They're getting it. And so what do you – now
they're getting it?
We don't talk about
who wants to go to a lazy doctor? If I know a doctor actually became a practitioner after having done that and gotten these particular privileges awarded to her while she was struggling to become a doctor, I wouldn't even want to go to her. She's not somebody who wants to put in the work.
And the older women who have been doctors for 30 plus years, they're seeing it too. They're seeing that the younger women refuse to work those hours. Hey, Skip 03, I see your comments in there. Exactly. No one is going to watch the WNBA. It's a slower game. It's not as explosive. You're not getting those crazy leaps. It's not as aggressive. And so I'm saying give them equality. Shut the WNBA down. Let those women just have basketball. You make the team, you make it. And then let's just trickle that down right through everything, right through high school, man. College, high school, one team. So now we have one budget. We don't have to have a girls' budget anymore. And if they make the team, that's great. If they don't, then
they'll never go for that.
Well, of course.
You know that. You know they'll start screaming. Of course not. They'll go. But you know that men and women are different biologically. Therefore, we should have our own separate but equal community or environment. Yeah, I know. I can just hear the retorts now. Ugh.
No. I'm going to do a screen share. So let's listen to what.
Okay.
And people on YouTube will be able to see it. Let's see. So this is what.
Yeah, I'm waiting for your clip.
Say that again.
I'm waiting for your clip.
My clip. Okay, here it is.
Your video.
And this is under fair use. I'm showing this video for educational purposes, and this is a critique on a very important social topic. Some may think I'm taking a politically incorrect perspective, but I think we should discuss it. And part of the reason is, if women are saying they're not being paid equally in the WNBA, is this what has been happening for the past 5 decades? Is that women clearly haven't performed and they just want it to be paid the same as men, even though they were not performing the same? So let's see what the news said about this.
Football players on the planet will be in Las Vegas this weekend for the WNBA All-Star Game. In addition to offense and defense, They'll have money on their minds, or lack of it.
Well, pay inequality is a growing issue for female athletes. The U.S. women's soccer team certainly is leading the charge, and leagues like the WNBA, well, they are chiming in as well right now.
That's right. 13 Action News anchor Jackie Costley talked to players about that very issue.
Trisha and Todd, many people say the most powerful moment that came from that World Cup win was right after the game ended when the crowd started chanting equal pay. And now WNBA players like Kayla McBride are trying to bring that momentum into their own fight. Kayla McBride is not trying to be LeBron James.
This is making sure that we're being valued in the way that we feel like we deserve.
McBride is dominant both on and off the court, a three-time All-Star guard who's active in the fight for better pay.
There's a lot of time and work and effort and conversations that just need to be had, and we're ready to have them, you know. And I think with the leadership that we have and our first association in the NBA league with these women, the time is now.
Last November, the WNBA Players Association voted to opt out of its current collective bargaining agreement, which expires at the end of this season. McBride and other WNBA players are pushing for better, more equitable pay. Right now, 50% of NBA league revenue goes to player salaries. That percentage is closer to 25% for WNBA players.
Already you have a lower amount of money that's being generated, the revenue generating, and then you have a lower percentage that's actually going to the players.
Nancy Lowe is a professor of psychology and higher education at UNLV. She says moving toward equity in sports will take continued media attention and stars like Asia Wilson and soccer's Megan Rapinoe being willing to use their platform.
They get tons of pushback from people on social media, but all facets. And so being able to respond to that in a way that doesn't just turn people off, right, that helps to extend the conversation, that really is something that this younger generation of athletes has been much more, I think, skilled at and perhaps most importantly, willing to do.
Now, a lot of these women face major backlash, major criticism for being vocal on social media, and Kayla McBride told me that she really hopes that anyone who's critical of the movement for equality would be willing to come out and watch her and her teammates play. Jackie Costa, 13 Action News.
Okay. So they're asking for equality. Leaf poetry.
The women have...
Sorry, say that.
The women have a point. If they're going to point to the 50% in the men's league, revenue, their salaries are for 50% of the revenues of the advertising and the revenue that's being drawn in. If the women right now in the WNBA are getting only 25%, they probably want 50%. But even if they get the 50%, that only doubles the cap to about, I think they get 50,000 now, 55,000, to about 110,000 or 111,000, 110,000. So that still wouldn't be equitable with men. But they have a point. You know, if they want 50%, their lawyer should argue for it, while at the same time, the owner should show them that the 50% that they would be getting from the ad revenue, that would be going to the owners, might not cover all of the expenses or give them the profit margins that they want to.
Exactly. And they may be losing money on the WNBA. The NBA may be carrying.
Yeah, come. Yeah. NBA has what? They have that kind of giving them the financial assistance? Really?
Absolutely. Who else do you think is paying for
it? I didn't know that.
Who's going to – that stadiums are not filled. I mean, come on. Coaches' salaries, players' salaries, the cost of a stadium that's not filled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's not filled. Especially with the pandemic.
Even more.
Everything has to have gone down during the pandemic. Hopefully the lockdown will be ended soon. But even so, the women still have to have star power. They have to draw the crowds. They have to put the fannies in the seats. If they can't do it, they can't get the ad revenue. If they can't get the ad revenue, they're not going to get the salaries.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
Right. You don't have the ticket sales. You don't have the ad revenue. You don't have any of that. And Just 1 second, Joe. At least poetry. I see you, right?
Okay.
You like the question I'm asking. Is the WNBA the women's idea of equality, right? So, and she's saying it should be performance-based, not closing the claim gender gap piece. Well, performance, see, and that, I think part of the problem is women are saying, well, we practice hard and we play well. So if you can juggle 50 bowling balls, that could be impressive in the time and practice it would take to develop that skill would be enormous, except if no one wants to pay to watch you juggle 50 bowling balls, it doesn't matter how skilled you are and how much time it took. No one wants to see it. So you're just someone out there juggling 50 bowling balls on the New York City subway, and you make a few pennies that people drop in your hat. And that's it.
Are you talking to her?
No, I'm just saying a general comment. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just saying in general? Okay. Yeah. It all depends upon, can you fill the tickets? Can you fill the seats? Do you have the star power? Because it's all entertainment. If they don't find you that entertaining because of the lack of skill, then tough luck. You should be lucky that you're in a league that's allowing you to do this as you wish.
Right.
But it still has to conform to reality. And just because, it's like people saying, you know what? He's got more hair than me. He has more hair follicles. That is unfair. I want his hair. Are you stupid? You know? It's okay. And then they will claim biological differences when it suits them. That's what pisses me off. They always want to take the opposite argument when it causes them stress. They don't want to put in the effort because it causes them stress. They want men. You know what the definition of a leader is to a woman? Somebody who does the heavy lifting, who will take the bullets for the woman. That's their leader. Otherwise, the women want veto power all the time. And if you're a leader, and if they don't like it, you're a bully. But if you're a leader and they like you being a leader because you're the one who's doing all the heavy lifting and you're the one who's taking all the being engaged in the stressful work, then you're the leader.
You're a real man.
Just question. Yeah. You're a real man when you help me out, but you don't want to help me out. If I don't want you to help me out, you're not a real man. Okay. And the poor guys, they got to wake up because the guys buy into it too. They think, you know what? I'm a real man. I can impress this woman. Yes. You know what, Charlie? When they say no, the law backs up the little woman. So you're not as much of a real man as you think. You're only a real man as long as you can take the bullets in the front and the arrows in the back. And as long as you can lift them. You know what? You came up with a saying some months ago, which I wish I had come up with. It was, if you can give a woman a bag of gold, and they'll complain about how heavy it is. I always like that. Always like that.
What do you want me to do with it? It weighs 200 pounds. Well, we gave you gold. You have 200 pounds of gold. Well, anyway, I can't carry it. Sucks. Give it to me in paper.
Okay. Oh, I know. You want to give it back? No, but you can carry it for me. Please.
Whatever I carry, I keep.
Yeah. Then give it to me. No, you're a gentleman. You're supposed to protect us women. I don't even know you, you know? I wasn't put on the earth to protect every single person who carries a uterus. You can go to, if you can go to the gym, you can go to yoga classes, and if you want to go and take karate and jujitsu, et cetera, then do it. Don't insist that I have to be your bodyguard. I can tell you a story of maybe one day of years ago, a neighbor of mine Boy. Mm. But I won't tell it now. I'll just listen to the WNBA rantings of delusional women.
So there's a woman who said, my ass would not complain. I'd slug that bag like a grateful trooper.
Well, yeah, you should.
She'd slug her 200 pounds of gold, take it home, and I guess she'd sell it, right? She has an interesting perspective. So she said some interesting things even about women. She said from an upkeep perspective, they cost more, they are not pulling the sales, and they logically don't get the same output. So she's saying women have not justified their demand at all. So she gets it.
Well, especially in the entertainment business. Yeah, of course. But when you were telling me about the doctors, see, that ticks me off. We're women. We shouldn't have to work the same hours. And yet, I want the same degree as you, and I want the same opportunities. No, the opportunities are go to those who put in the work. You're not willing to put in the work? Then go screw yourself.
So I'm going to take another call, but before I do that, they had a problem in the legal profession, especially the big law firms. So what these large law firms were doing is they were recruiting women from the top law schools, and these were women who were in the top of their class. They were doing very well in law school. So they bring them in, they paid them well, and these women worked their butts off. They made partner, let's say before 25, and then when you make partner, the rules of engagement change. To be partner, you now are responsible for, one, bringing in revenue. You have to be a rainmaker to keep your partner status.
Right? You have to be a producer. Yeah, you have to be a rainmaker, yeah.
Right, that's one, right? And part of the way you get there by having those billable hours and being a rainmaker is you're putting in 80 hours a week, right? So that's two things. You have to bring in business, and the amount of hours you work significantly increases if you want to retain your position as partner. Well, do you know what a lot of women do?
Okay. I can only guess.
They quit.
What they do? Form their own law firm?
So here's what they did around the age of 25. They married a guy who made the same and usually more than him. So they married a guy. So she's making, let's say between $250,000 and $350,000 a year. And she finds a guy who, let's say, works in finance or something, and he's making $350,000+. She marries him, quits her job as a lawyer, and stays home. So the law firms thought maybe they were being like misogynistic and they were discriminating. Like they were trying to figure out why. We were giving women better salaries than men. We were treating them well. We had all kinds of women empowerment. And why are these young women who went to law school, top of the class, they came in doing well, and then poof, in droves, they left. They couldn't understand it. Mm-hmm. So they did the research. And the women said it didn't make sense for them to put in 80 hours a week. That extra money wasn't worth having a poor quality of life. So they married and they quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was always the option that women...
Right. So, and it wasn't that they started their own firms. They just quit. They just didn't want to put in that time. Now, some of them may have, maybe if they got divorced or something like that, but they're not putting in those 30 hours generally. So I'm sorry, 870, I know you're there. Give me one more story. Some people may have heard me tell this story. There was a woman who was a welder. And the owner of the company was paying her less than what he paid the men. And she was Oh, she was really upset, up in arms. This is unfair. You're doing this to me because I'm a woman. He said, no. He said, you take more breaks than men. You spend more time in the bathroom, and you take more, you go to the bathroom more frequently than men. And she said, well, that's unfair. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm a woman. I have my period, and I have to go to the bathroom more often sometimes. And he said, so I should penalize the other guys because you need more time in the bathroom, and they're actually producing work while you're in the bathroom. So she said, fine. She kind of like folded her arms and said, fine. So she started wearing a diaper to work, and now she worked the same exact hours as men. You know what happened?
What happened?
She quit. It was too much. Her body could not take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. You want equality, you have to pay the price. If you don't
I'm bringing this up in the context of the WNBA. So, you know, for decades we've been hearing women say, you know, they want equal and they're doing everything that they believe they're doing what men are doing. And the WNBA, you know, it takes practice to be an athlete, you know, an elite athlete. Even if it's for the women, you know, even the women Olympics, right? They don't perform like the men, but they're still elite athletes for women. They're just not like
right.
And it's like they don't want to be acknowledged for the fact they don't perform like men. They don't draw the crowd that men draw. And yet they feel like they're being taken advantage of.
I know. That's the old story, you know. I am a traditionalist. I'm a feminist whenever it suits me. I don't do the heavy lifting when it suits me, but I can engage in gymnastics and sports because I can do everything as good as you, if not better. But if I don't get the same results as you, then it's your fault. It's not because I can't perform the same way you can. I can't draw the crowds the same way you can. Of course, it's always men's fault. That's just the way our particular culture has it. It's always men's fault. Rarely is it a female's fault. It's always men's fault.
So perhaps men have not stood up and said, hey, stop this. Stop it. This is a temper tantrum, and we won't tolerate it.
That's exactly what we have to do. We have to do it. We can't rely on women to live up to the propaganda that they're sugar and spice and all things nice. Yeah, because you know, women still have the prerogative to change their mind, and you know, women just aren't as aggressive as men, and women are more emotional. Bullshit. Whenever you want something, you become a Mata Hari. Okay, you lie probably more than men. You don't put in the work as much as men on any particular type of endeavor, any occupation. No, men have got to realize that if they want a true partner, they have to look at the woman for who she really is, as opposed to what the fairy tales are, you know, given to us by our fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, mothers, grandmothers, etc. Romance is a lot of propaganda. A female is just another human being with the same flaws as a man, demanding that she, you know what, you know, to me, when a woman insists that a man opens the door for her, I always look upon it as a general saluting a private, opening a door for a private. Watch. And then, you know, if you really get into a discussion about chivalry, just ask the women, do you have friends, female friends? Yes. You go out, you go to shopping together, you go to dinner and lunch together? Yes. Do they always open up the door for you? Well, no. Well, then why should a man open up the door for you if you can do it for yourself? Well, because you're a man. Okay. And I'm a traditionalist. Well, so am I. Get on your knees, get a couple of knee pads, and do what traditionally you're supposed to do. How's that?
We have some interesting comments from a woman. She said, I think people need to be comfortable with understanding we are not equal, but that's not a bad thing. She said, we have our roles in society that are still valuable, and we shouldn't or penalize.
They're going to be looking stupid here in a minute.
Hold on, Kendrick, hold on, man. We shouldn't demonize or penalize each other for those inequalities. Yeah, I'd love, this is a woman talking. I'd love if you'd come in for a
call
a
in.
Yeah, call in. Call in 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. I'd love to hear you talk this through with us. And 870, you're live and on the air. You action. Let's go. Run with it. I know.
How you doing, Kendricks?
Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Pretty well, man.
Hey.
Oh, it's all good out here, Ted. Yeah, I'm out here having a bit of time, man. But Mr. Joe was saying about that, about protecting folk and all that. That kind of had, you know, it kind of triggered me, Ted.
Why is that?
Because, like he said, and I piggyback, it's almost ludicrous for a man, a random dude, to get involved with a female now, in particular doing a mugging or a robbery or something like that, because she, if the wrong thing was to go down, they can pin something on you, Ted.
Right, right.
So I'm looking at things from a logical and being safe with my own self, Ted.
Okay.
That's how I'm looking at things. It ain't my job. I ain't the damn police. That ain't what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well,
see what I'm saying? But now, if it was a family member or something like that, Ted, somebody that I know, that's a whole nother issue. Because you ain't going to sit back and let nothing bad happen to your family member.
And, Kendrick, even then, if I have some cousins who have big mouths. If they get themselves into trouble, you take care of yourselves. I'm talking about female cousins.
Right.
Don't look to me to bail your ass out.
Right. But I ain't going to just let nobody kill one of my kinfolk. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong, Mr. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about something wrongfully done to them. I ain't talking about
something
somebody done jumped on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, the way it's looking out here, we almost to the point, Mr. Joe, for every man for himself. That's what we're getting to.
Well, I'm that way
because I've already intervened. I've already intervened in five different fights. I didn't even, except for one, I didn't know who were about to start the fight. And I said to myself after the fifth one, you know, I'm lucky nobody's ever stabbed me in the back. So I'm of the mindset now I'm no longer a good Samaritan, female or male.
Interesting.
Yes, sir. That's good talk. You know, Mr. Captain Save a Hole and all that. No, sir. Those were my blue pill days, Mr. Joe. And I'm glad I was dumb and young and had to learn from it. Now I done moved on from it, but rest assured and believe, Mr. Joe, some lessons gonna stick with you. And it pisses you off when you had to learn about the nature of some of these females out here. And like you were talking about these people, and don't talk to be gentlemen, be polite, and be this and be that. And knowing good and well, she messing with the assholes the whole time. She getting her back blowed out by one of them.
Yeah. Well,
so
I believe
I'm like, you damned if you do, Mr. Joe. You damned if you don't.
And we shouldn't have to put up with it. As long as a woman is respectful, you respect them. You don't initiate aggressive behavior against women unless they act like bitches. Then do not tolerate it, okay? Do not think just because she's a female that she has a good reason for being a bitch. If she doesn't have a good reason, she doesn't have a good reason, and you don't tolerate it. If men could do that across the board from coast to coast, women would have to change their act.
Hey, guys.
And I agree with it.
Hold one second, guys. Leaf Poetry, instead of calling in the number, come on YouTube, and that way you can just go online through your computer. You won't have to do a long-distance phone call. She's in Australia. So go on to YouTube, find Ted Santos, and you'll find this live stream. It's the NBA Women's Idea of Equality. You'll find that. I'm going to drop the link in the chat, and you'll be able to come in and just join us. So I'm going to drop a link. You click on the link, and you'll come in. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. And I assume you're going to give us an Australian accent from down under.
You know, it's very easy for women to get along with men. Just don't be a bitch. Don't try to compete with us. Don't be a bitch. Men will like you and respect you. And even if they're not attracted to you, they'll still respect you. I almost always put the blame on female shoulders.
I mean, well, it's a lack of accountability, Mr. Joe. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Double standard. Yeah.
So what's a lot of hypocrisy. Here's what we're really talking about is what women are doing in the WNBA. Is that really an example of what they've been doing for the past five decades? And it's been difficult to quantify. So, you know, and I did a video on this, I think last year, and it showed that workplace productivity from 1948 until 1968 was 108% of capacity, meaning that you figure from 1948 until 1968, you had mostly men in the workforce, and they were working their butts off. They exceeded 100% of capacity. They were at 108. From 1969 until 2015, measuring the same workplace productivity, we were only reaching 69%. The only thing that changed is we had many more women in the workplace. So that's saying that we are underperforming from a productivity perspective, which means companies are not going to be as profitable as they could be if you're operating at between 90 and 100% of productivity capacity.
Productivity, yeah.
Right. So what do companies have to do when they're underperforming? They're going to have to raise prices because they're not getting what they need from their workers. So that means you hire underperformers and you subsidize their underperformance by charging higher prices. Or you give it to government.
You got it.
Say that. Go ahead.
And you have to try to get that profit margin. Most companies aren't the Amazons and the Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaways, et cetera, who have and the Apples with nice 20% profit margins. A lot of companies are only operating a paper thin.
Joe, the reason why they have 20% profit margins is they raise their prices to cover for less productive workers. You get what I'm saying?
That's how they got 20%?
No, what I'm saying is this. If we had 108% capacity like we did from 1948 to 68, the cost of living would be lower across the board because companies would be getting the productivity, the output they need to be profitable. But once the productivity drops under 100, under 90, you know, we're at 69.
Then they have to raise the prices. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand that from a macroeconomics viewpoint.
Exactly.
I thought you were talking about yeah.
So and so that means if you want 20% margins, it means you have to raise your prices to get 20% margin. If we had 108% capacity, then the cost of everything would be lower because they get 20% margins with lower prices. You follow me?
Yeah, if the productivity is there, and if they could sell the material that they're making, yeah, if they could actually increase the sales as a result of the productivity. Because I have some differences with some economists about the productivity. Making you know, the standard of living better. Productivity is good if you have the ability, and you're a consultant. So you would know that if you have a lot of material to sell, but you're filling up your warehouse with it, you know, your workers and your machinery may be more productive, but you have to have the good marketing and the good sales force in order to sell it.
So
I'm always looking at it from a marketing perspective.
No, yeah. I'm saying something else, Joe. I'm saying something very different. So, okay. There are some jobs where women are better, they perform faster, right? So let's say in some manufacturing jobs where you have to have smaller hands to put it into packaging, right? So women often are better at that, right? So, you know, and there are some other jobs. Even in sales, some sales jobs, women, there are some women who are better performers than men, right? As a society, we're taught to trust women more than men. So women can, you know, if she knows her stuff, she can be very good, even in sales. But here's what I'm saying, Joe. If you have, let's go back to the doctors. If you have two gynecologists, one is a man and one is a woman. The man puts in 12 to 14, sometimes 16-hour days, right? The woman puts in 8-hour days, and they're both making $100,000 a year. You see the difference?
Okay.
So the man is,
well,
it's
one, two, yeah.
The man's putting in 12 to 14-hour days, and a woman's putting in 8-hour days, and they're getting paid the same. So the woman's getting paid more per hour than the man, and she's producing less work than the man.
Right. So she's, you're right. So she's with a conglomerate of she is not a sole practitioner. She's not the doctor who has a sole practice, you're saying. She's in...
I'm saying company hires a male and female doctor, and this is how... And let's say in those last hours, the woman is more tired than the man and doesn't perform as well, and the man is still, you know, banging out. He's still, you know, at his 6-7-8-hour mark, he still is fresh, and the woman is, you know, she's not putting in the same intensity of work, and the man puts in more hours. The company's losing a lot of money because they're paying the woman almost twice as much as they're paying the man.
Well, let me ask you this, Ted, because that the salary in this example, that's given by contract, right?
I'm just saying you have employees, Joe. I'm just keeping it really simple. A company hires
employees. Okay, let's say I have, I have employees. I have two employees. Let's say the salesman, right? Or doctors, doesn't matter. One's putting in 16 hours a day. The other one's putting in 8 hours a day.
Right.
One's making $100,000 a year. The other one's making $100,000 a year, but putting in 8 hours.
Right.
I'm looking at it as if it's not because of a collective bargaining, if it's not because of a contract, because you just signed up and somehow you've got some kind of privilege or subsidies going for you. And I'm saying, that particular person who can work 16 hours a day and getting $100,000, that person's doing something right. The person who's putting in 16 hours a day and getting $100,000 worth of revenue, I'm looking at it from a revenue perspective.
If you're a doctor. I'm saying they're not performing. They're not bringing in the same revenue. They're not seeing the same amount of pay. So with 16 hours...
All right.
You may have driven $10,000 of revenue in your day, right? And the 8 hours, she brought in $5,000.
$5,000, right.
Right, and
then,
she's still
$100,000, right.
And she's bringing in $5,000
of revenue, right.
And he's bringing in $10,000 in revenue.
That's what I was getting to. If she's not bringing in the same amount of revenue, then okay. But if she's bringing in the same amount of revenue, I mean more or the same, then I got a bargain. But if she's bringing in $5,000, he's bringing in $10,000. Yeah, Well, they're actually working at the same amount of revenue per hour.
That's not happening. The women are not working twice as hard as men and sustaining.
I know what you're getting at because the studies say so. Yeah. If that's the case,
look at World War II when they had to up the hours. As soon as they upped the hours on in the factories, while men were at in the battlefield, they had to increase the hours significantly to get men the supplies they needed. And accidents for women went up 150%. And for men, they didn't go up at all. The men just kept banging out productivity with increased hours.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. That you're saying that the women who are on doing the same amount of work, or not the same amount of work, but have the same job, or can't do the same amount of work, but yet they want the same amount of pay. Of course, it's unequal, but yet they want to have the so-called equality.
Well, and so that, and I'm using the WNBA because it's pretty obvious to see it, right? And the other one, you might try to hide and say, well, what if she's producing more with it? Like, if she's working 8 hours and he's working 12, he's going to see more patients. He's going to bring in more revenue to the organization. He just is. And he's getting paid the same. So I see you in the house. Thanks for joining.
So this is my curious point, Ted. So how are these business owners and these CEOs looking at things right now as far as this revenue and equality stuff going?
They just raised the prices to cover for it.
I mean, is it gonna be more benefit to the men or the women raising these prices and things?
It just means the cost of living goes up for the whole country, for the whole world.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Now the cost of living goes up.
They just have to raise prices, and so now
the standard of living doesn't go up. The cost of living goes up. But the productivity isn't there, and they have to compensate for it in order to try to get the profit margin.
Right.
Yeah.
Standard of living goes down, and now you have to have 2 salaries in a home.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had a woman join us. I don't know if she's going to give us an Australian accent or not. We're going to hold out and listen.
Well, I hope so.
Hello, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. Leaf poetry. So you're going to give us some poetic thoughts on this topic. You've had some interesting comments already.
I wouldn't call them poetic. I'd call them more real. I'm not necessarily an optimist or a pessimist, but more a realist in the way that society is moving at the moment. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Equal pay, closing this claim that gender gap of payments is an illusion. Women in certain roles and certain positions, and I come from a scholarly background, so I 100% can stand by my words when I say this, are not producing the same results as men can get their optimal level.
I have 2 questions. What's your scholarly background, and why are you... Because I think a lot of women might want to attack you when you say women are not performing the same, so I need you to justify that comment. What's your scholarly background?
Sure, I have a double degree in business and communication. I've worked in that field for the last 14 years, and I've reached the pinnacle of, I would say, role attainment that one can get in those roles.
Okay.
And along that way and throughout that journey, I have had some real, and I'm more about factual thinking rather than emotive thinking, or following the, you know, movement that I'm seeing now coming out of feminist groups, but more about the real and factual thinking and the output of a company. And I've come to some of those conclusions based on what I've seen in my industry.
Okay. Right, and just as a side note, we're at least in New York, we're at 8:30 p.m. What time is it there? About 10 o'clock in the morning?
10:30? It's 10:30 in the yes, and my state is in lockdown, so what's this one?
Okay.
To discuss this topic, I'm quite passionate and it's quite deep to me.
Okay. So you're seeing examples where women are not producing the same as men. You've actually seen that with your own eyes.
I have seen that example with my own eyes. Although I will say that a woman has to put in twice as much work, and she has to be more realistic with what she can achieve and what she sacrifices in order to achieve the same as men. So I would say 80% of the time she does not produce as much as what the men do in the profession that I've seen. But there are the token 20% few that are achieving those results. They work twice as hard, but they sacrifice the opportunity of like a traditional unit of a family, of coming home and actually doing like a more feminine or a female role in the household, so she sacrifices that time.
So you're saying women who are single women with no children and never married can actually produce?
Again, it depends a lot on the profession. Again, from what I've seen, so even though I'm business and communications, my field has always been software engineering and computer science.
Okay.
Men are just more logical, and this is based on what I've seen. Men are just more logical. So it takes a different type of framework for a woman to achieve the same results that they do. But what I've seen is that they undermine themselves and what their inherent natures are in achieving certain results. And I'm going off topic here. But
What do you mean by undermine? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I think, and I am quite passionate and I believe this wholeheartedly, we are not equal, but that is not a bad thing.
Right.
It is acknowledging those inequalities and the strengths that come with those inequalities to better use in whatever profession you are. Or even if you choose not to be in a profession and you choose to be at home and a proud housewife, I think we need to take that move back to. If you want to be a proud housewife, do that.
Okay. So what? How do you think women have undermined? I'm not so clear on that, the answer to that.
Well, I'll be honest, in my experience, and again, I've done a lot of research on the experiences of others, we are also demonized by our own for wanting to be good housewives,
okay.
For wanting to be a submissive type of personality. We're not achieving the archetype that has been now formed and molded of female, strong, independent, I can do what men can do, roles that if we're not doing that, then we can be demonized. And I have been dragged so much from feminist papers for believing that that is a calling that women should submit to. Did I answer that question correctly? I don't want to go off topic.
No, you did. Thank you. So I just, someone put an interesting comment. He said, men were designed for the workforce and we judge each other based on productivity. And so we don't judge women. We're more lenient on women when it comes to productivity. We don't put the same hammer down on women and say, you didn't do well. We sort of have almost like an escape clause. Well, it's okay. You can't come down on her like that. She's doing the best she can.
That's directed towards you, Australia.
But go ahead. What are your thoughts about that? Sure.
I think we need to, again, take it back from a gender, like this is a gender lens that we're looking at productivity through. Business is not a gender biased structure. Money is not a gender biased structure. We need it in order to survive. We need it in order to produce a product that is required by a market. We need the best and most skilled person to do it, regardless of whether they're female or a male.
Okay.
And I can see, that person's probably, you know, has protected their female or protected the females around them and do believe that they deserve some form of leniency in a realm. But in terms of business, in terms of things that get the productivity rolling, we have to be really objective, and that has no gender bias.
Right.
It's whoever can perform the task at hand the most successfully in order to produce the results that you require.
Okay.
And if 80% of proven results come from the male gender, then that's what we need to do.
Right.
And I'm not, and, sorry, you go.
No, go ahead, keep going.
I'm not discouraging females out there for being and driving to who you want to be. In fact, I hold us all accountable for being exactly who we want to be, but being real about what we gain and what we sacrifice in that process.
Okay.
So I think we absolutely need to remove the gender biases, the need to be equal because we are not. But that's not a bad thing.
Right. And
man can't give birth. I can.
I think part of what he's getting at is that men can be ostracized for being underperformers and thrown out. If you don't
right.
hold your own, other men will hold men accountable for being an underperformer. But we don't hold women to the same standard if they don't produce like that. We kind of suck it up and we figure out a way to subsidize it, whether it's raising prices or asking men to perform more to overcompensate for, you know, women who are not performing as well. We
okay.
double up on the load of men. And there are places, I know a guy who works, we have, we call it New Jersey Transit, and they have a system of these huge buses, these huge kind of luxury buses, and the tires are on them are very big. And so this guy, he fixes the brakes, and which means you have to take the tire off. And he said they hired only one woman. She could never handle taking the tire off. All the men could do it. And so she was always asking a guy to help her, and she didn't have all of her own tools. So she would even borrow tools from other guys. So she needed assistance to do certain things, which meant the man was being taken away from his work. And now he's producing more, and she would expect to be paid the same as the guys, even though she's not producing the same work. So,
and to piggyback off your example there, that said, I know of on Block Talk Radio, huh?
Go ahead.
Okay. There were examples on Block Talk Radio where there were two guys who were in the Navy. They didn't know each other, two different shows, but they had related the same experiences. They were working on top of the boat, and they had to, what was it they were doing? They had to lift cargo from one ship to another,
okay.
Or either take the cargo from down below to bring it up. In any case, it was heavy lifting involved.
Right.
But when the female sailors got involved in the line, they couldn't do it like men could, and were always asking the guys to do their work. Now these are two different stories from two different men, and two different ships who don't even know each other.
Interesting.
So it kind of gives credit, kind of gives credibility to the story that, you know, of what you're talking about, that men, even in the service, can be very lenient towards underperformers, a.k.a. female sailors.
But they wouldn't do that for a guy. They wouldn't give a man that lenient,
oh.
especially over a long, you know, consistently over a long term. It would be frustrating. Like, hey, man, you need to carry your own weight. What are you doing?
That's right. But see,
yeah.
we're in such a politically correct culture that if you do that again, if you make a complaint against women based upon that, they're going to say it's a patriarchal society, you're bullying them, and they will report you for making them feel uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah, bullying. Yep, that's a good word. Right. You're bullying me, and I can't work well.
Yep.
Guy ends up losing his job,
mm-hmm.
and yet they keep the underperformer, and that's what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about when I say productivity capacity has dropped.
Certainly, if you have to keep replacing the people who keep leaving because they keep underperforming, then of course you do. But when you're giving up the example of WNBA, it's a very obvious example as you were talking about because the entertainment factor. Is very obvious. You have to put the fannies in the seats, just like any actor. If you want to get paid the same as Arnold Schwarzenegger, who people say can't act, he's a mediocre actor. You got to put the fannies in the seats. He gets $20 million, or used to get $20 million a picture.
Great
because
example.
He produced $20 million worth of seats.
Actually, Joe, that is such a perfect example, right? So and part of what the women are saying is that they practice so much to be athletes. But here's the deal. There are actors who are better actors. They're more skilled at acting than Arnold, except they couldn't fill the seat the way Arnold did. So you can criticize his acting all day long, but when the movie kind of used to come out, there were lines around the block to see him. And so
there you go.
He's getting a percentage of his own performance, which leaked poetry that you were saying performance-based. So Arnold for sure was producing results in terms of Hollywood. Hey, I want to bring in Erico 111. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you call us from? I know you've been listening.
Hi, Ted. I don't know if this is my number.
Are you hearing me? It is. Yeah, I hear you. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm outside. I'm not near a computer. But I did bring my notes with me. If you want to go over it, maybe take 5 or so minutes at some point. The different show topics, possibly.
Okay, give me.
Right, I mean, whenever you're convenient. I'm just listening to your show, but you recall you asked me to.
I did.
Produce a few show topics last Sunday, I believe.
I did. So I'm going to write them down. So I hope you don't speak faster than I write. So.
Right. Okay. Well, just say when. I'll go back on mute and listen to you guys.
Ahead. It's showtime. Go ahead. What are the ideas?
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, I'll start at the last. Let's see. Should women seek professional relationship counseling? Often. Should women seek professional relationship counseling often, and are women more in need of counseling than men? That's that idea. And you can jigger this however you choose. The other one would be, do Western women want normal good men or
Hold it.
Sure.
While he's, Richard, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. I would recommend you take a look at a song. It's called Money, Power, Glory. It's sung by a woman called Lana Del Rey. It came out in 2014. I hadn't heard of it until about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it would be the mantra, the national anthem, for most females, because in the song, she's talking about, I want all that they got. I want to take all that they got. I want money. I want power. I want glory. Nice tune,
mm-hmm.
too. So I would recommend you take a look at that if you don't know about it already.
Yeah, what's the name again? Money, Power, Glory, and what's the name?
Money, Power, Glory, right.
Yeah.
It's a hypnotic.
You gave the name of the singer, I think.
Right. Lana.
Oh, Lana.
Del.
Okay, L-A-N-A.
And middle name Del, Lana Del. And then the last name was Ray. I forget if it's R-E-Y-E or R-E-Y. Okay.
Okay, all right, R-E-Y. All right, I'll listen to that and see what's up. Hey, had you finished, Joe?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, Ted, I just want to say this. Now, I knew of this prior to it occurring, but look, the legal issue is at the Supreme Court now, whether women are going to be required to register for the draft. That is super important because that will address the legal issue of men being, quote-unquote, the protector provider. That is a big issue in the courts. Most guys don't understand that. They're just not cognizant of how much pressure that puts on them to perform and not women. So that's at the Supreme Court right now, and they're negotiating whether or not they are going to really accept the case. It is their case. They ruled on it in 1981. But I just want to say that's super important. Had you heard about that?
No, and is it getting any resistance?
Well, it's going to get some resistance, obviously, you know, like senators like Ted Cruz. The
right.
Congress will never do a damn thing on it because Congress is just fine letting things go the way they are. If I may, I'll just say what the gist of it is, just summarize it. In 1981, there was a case wherein the government was sued for discrimination against men because they would not register women. And I think that was under Jimmy Carter. Okay, the main issue that the Supreme Court cited was that women were not similarly situated to men. Therefore, they threw the case out saying women weren't required to in other words, they were excluded from combat. Thus, they weren't required to register. Okay, come full circle, 2015, all of those combat restrictions were removed, okay? So the argument that the Supreme Court used in 1981 is no longer operable. So this is going to be very, very important, and hopefully you'll do a show on that. I mean, you can check it out, but I think it's certainly worthy of a show, maybe several shows. At any rate, I'll get back to the show topics if you like.
Hold on.
Okay.
You put down your pencil, huh, Ted?
Pencil up, Ted.
No.
Richard brought that up, though, because Congress is in power, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say again?
I was glad you brought up that case with Congress, because they still up over this country.
Oh, yeah. Congress is very timid, and they're reluctant to rule. They're perfectly okay with things being, with men being discriminated against. If you reverse it, they would act on it yesterday. But as long as it's men are disposable, basically, they're not going to act on it. So the judiciary, the Supreme Court, is going to act on it. Remember the three divisions of government? You got the executive, legislative,
government. Yeah.
The judiciary.
Yeah.
And the judiciary is going to have to rule on it because Congress won't. All right, Ted, here we go. Do Western women want normal, good men or exaggerated, high-earning philanderers?
All right, wait. Say that whole thing. I missed the first word. What women?
Okay. Do Western women, and we're just talking about, you know, women in Western culture, Europe, America, Australia, Canada, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, do Western women want normal, good men or exaggerated, high-earning philanderers? Say when.
Have you finished, Ted?
I'm still writing.
Still writing it down?
And you can shorten these, Ted. I'm just trying to capture, you know, you may be able to capture the essence more succinctly, but.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I'm writing everything, so I can rethink
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Great.
Hold on. Leaf Poetry, your screen froze. Oh, you came back in. Okay, great.
Apologies. Sorry for that.
Yeah, you dropped out. Go ahead, Richard. What's the next one?
All right, sure. How may Western men regain their power and social respect from women, or can they? How may Western men regain their power and social respect from women, or can they? So that's a two-parter. Say when you're finished, and I'll go to the next one.
Next one.
All right. Minimum acquired wealth men should protect with the prenuptial agreement. And I'm distinguishing, and I think you said it last time, which was very insightful, the normal marriage license is a prenuptial agreement. It's just in favor of the woman. It will be enforced in favor of the woman. So I would just designate this as a personal prenuptial agreement. So reading again, minimum acquired wealth men should protect with a prenup. In other words, how much money should a man earn wherein he feels that it's necessary to protect it from the system, using the woman as the agency of taking it away from him?
Well, maybe also because there are stories of women taking half of a man's retirement, so you should just have one, period.
Okay, I mean, you know, these are inquiry. These are questions for inquiry. In other words, these are questions that aimed at getting men to think in a way they've never thought before. But
right.
Okay, so you have that one, or are we ready for the next one?
Next.
Okay.
And I see you've been thinking, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, say it again.
I see you have been thinking. You've got
to
listen.
Well, yeah, just as I thought, you know, I listened to a lot of terrestrial radio and what have you, so as a thought came, I would just kind of jot it down. Okay, here's the next one. Due to decline in marriage, are more women forced on the streets, in other words, becoming homeless? Due to the decline in marriage, are more women forced on the streets to become homeless? And this is because, now, I'll just give you a little bit of background here. Most women do not earn enough to live in retirement. And since marriage has greatly declined, are more women being pushed out on the streets? And I know we do everything as a society to prevent that, but it appears that that's not saving women.
Okay.
Okay. So I have about four, about eight more of these. So just say when you.
So
sufficient.
I have a request. Write down my email and just email them to me.
Okay. Now remember, I'm not at a. We can go two or three more. I'm not at. I'm outside right now.
You can email me whenever it's convenient for you.
Okay, your email is
T. Okay,
all right. I'll see what it is. So you're finished with collecting them right now. How many do you have? You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6, 7. I have 7, actually.
Okay, so what you did is you wrote some more based on some of my commentary. All right, that's fine.
Nope, I just wrote exactly what you said. I didn't add anything. I have 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So all right. Okay, that's fine. Okay, you're going to go back to the regular. But these are good. I think these are some. Do you think that's pretty good material to jumpstart you?
Absolutely. But
absolutely.
I would love to hear the others, but I want to get back to the topic, so I'd prefer that you just send them to me in an email.
Oh, okay, sure. What is the topic? I would like to – let me write it down. What is the topic?
Is the NBA women's idea of equality. Is the WNBA, is the Women's Basketball League, because they're asking for equal pay, they believe they should be paid more than what they're being paid, and there's a huge difference. in the salaries of women NBA players and men NBA players.
Well, of course, women can't play. Come on, Chad. Let me just say this: the woman on the WNBA could not outperform a high school student, a good high school basketball player, male.
That is correct. If we put a high school basketball team against a WNBA, the high school guys are going to win. They're going to dunk on them. They're going to be much more physical. It's going to be a very different game. And the women believe, because one of the things they say is it's taken them years to practice to master their craft, so they should be paid for that.
Okay, let me just say, that's stupid. And let me just, that's absurd. And you wouldn't even have to get the best high school basketball team to whip the women, the best of the women's basketball team repeatedly. You wouldn't even need the best high school players. Look, I'm not against women playing, if I can just make this comment, but, I mean, women are mediocre at best at sports.
So, Richard, here was part of the reason, the main reason I did this is because women have been screaming equal pay for decades, right? And it's been hard for a lot of people to quantify whether they should or shouldn't. So women have been pushing harder and harder to get more. And so my inquiry is now, is the NBA a perfect example of what's been actually happening for decades, that they've been demanding more, even though they're underperforming men? The basketball league is pretty obvious, right? You can't hide it. You look at the amount of seats that they fill. And I think before you came on, we were talking about skills in acting. So a lot of people say Arnold Schwarzenegger is not a good actor. Yet, when he would put his movies out, there were lines around the block. Now, there are probably people who went to Yale for acting or wherever the best acting school is, and they're probably a better actor than Arnold, except they couldn't command the box office tickets to get $20 million per movie. Yet they could be a better actor. For the WNBA players, they're not better players than the men, and they do not fill the seats like men, yet they're screaming they should get paid more.
Absolutely, and that's the palpable reality of this situation. We are really taking a lesson from foolishness, what I would call nascent intelligence and just absolute foolishness. Now, if we buy into it, more power to them. I mean, if they can sell us on that, I mean, you talk about a snake oil salesman, but you're exactly right. It's an economic decision. Arnold Schwarzenegger, right. It's a superior argument, because even though he's not the best actor, he is the best draw economically. And
right.
That's what the whole system is predicated on, is the actor that can draw the most box office seats. And they say put tushies in the seats. That's what it's all predicated on.
You also have to think about the sponsors. How many sponsors are willing to put their money in the WNBA if the seats are not filled? But for the men's basketball, they'll sponsor that sucker all day long.
I'll square with you. I have never watched – I know there are some pretty decent WBA players, WNBA. I can't even get the nomenclature proper. But the thing is, on the women's basketball team, I've only watched it maybe once or twice on YouTube. I would never go – unless I had someone that was close to me that was playing, but I would never go there to see the sheer performance of women, because it's just not there. It's not up to par. I would go to a good high school basketball showing rather than going to the WNBA. I mean, come on, give me a break.
So Richard, we have a woman who's joining me on YouTube. and she's from Australia, and she's gotten a lot of pushback from women because she's saying that women are being irrational about some of their demands, and she has seen, so she's a scholar in business and communications, and she has seen women who do not perform like men, yet they still expect to be paid equally. So she's come on to share her thoughts, and she understands where men are coming from economically. As you can imagine, there are probably a lot of women who condemn her, and to take it a step further, she thinks that the fact that men and women are not equal is a good thing, and women should leverage what they're good at as opposed to attempting to compete like men. Am I getting that right, Lee Poetry, or did I just characterize you?
Yeah. Hello. Yes, you're absolutely correct. Do I have feedback at your end?
It's a little echoey, but I can hear you clear. Hey, guys, can you all hear her clearly?
No.
She's a little choppy, Ted.
Yeah, she's been sounding like she's been in a bathtub the whole time.
Sorry, but I didn't.
That's not your fault. It's
I do
the,
agree
the
with the narrative that you're saying, that from an economic point of view, we need to employ those who produce the best results in order to achieve the business objectives that I've seen. And I'm so sorry, the feedback is too much for me. I will try and log off and log back in.
No, no, you know what you've done? You're still logged in on your other device is what it is. You have two devices going on. That's why. I muted the other one. And that's probably why you're getting feedback.
Okay, let me just then.
Okay. She's going to come back in. She's getting a lot of feedback. So.
Well, yeah, Ted, we got a female scholar. That's cool right there, man.
Yeah. There aren't always a lot of women who want to join us in this conversation. And a lot of guys have said they like to hear more from women. So we have to go halfway around the world for this one, all the way to Australia.
But it's always good, you know, to hear the professional man speak. Those ones I really need to be, you know, trying to get a feedback from.
Right. Absolutely. So, Leaf Poetry, go ahead, continue. All right, tell me I think you're clear on our, she just dropped out. Okay. So she'll come back in. So, Richard, I only use the WNBA as an example to illustrate what's happening. And so here's what I thought is one way for us to deal with the WNBA is to just get rid of the WNBA and allow the women to play in the NBA. Those who make the team, they make the team and they get treated just like men are on the court. And basketball is a very physical game. Now, and so the women who do make it, they have to perform stats just like men consistently over time, and the women who don't make it, they just get cut and you walk away in silence. There's no WNBA. It's just gone. Now, if women don't like that, then you can get female investors and start the WNBA up with women, with money all from women is a way to deal with that. Is to give them absolute equality, and I know you understand where I'm coming from when I say that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, of course. I think that is the ultimate test, and that should be the case. But see, women don't want that. Women want what's known as an unfair advantage. Now, look here, just while we have time, I know the lady is coming back, and I want to hear more of her.
Right.
Look,
yes.
Most women are dishonorable. Right. They're not fair-minded. They're dishonorable. That's the reason they won't speak openly. They don't want to be exposed. And every damn thing is about feelings. Reality is just not – there's no there to reality. It's all about their feelings. And so I appreciate the woman for coming on. But I will say this, CONSAD, CONSAD Research, and it's in PDF form, is the most comprehensive study ever done on the so-called wage disparity. And there are female economists that weigh in on that. And they say there is no discrimination. There is a wage gap, but it's not based on discrimination. It's based on the choices that women make. They don't choose to be chained to a desk for 40 years like men do. So that's the reason they don't make as much, which may make them smarter, by the way. They don't die on the job as most of us men do. So CONSAD Research, that was commissioned by the Department of Labor to study into this so-called gender wage disparity. And, you know, it's just a political thing. And I think men need to learn the truth, and there is a lot of truth there. And then they need to start enforcing the truth because women won't do it, and it's not to their advantage to do it. So,
yeah.
So go ahead, Lee. Great thoughts on that, and thanks for adding that resource, Richard. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Richard, I do think you addressed something that's quite fundamental to the female nature, is that we are emotive. And I say this objectively because I've been able to be in a position where I have to remove my emotions from a logical. The majority of the examples that I've seen throughout my tenure show exactly as you have said. It is an emotive-based decision. In saying that, there is a place for those type of roles and those types of people, but we need to be real, but the reality needs to be addressed that there are some career paths that are not for women. They just aren't, and you can see that statistically. You can see that show up in many business structures, and that's not a bad thing. Again, I go back to that's not a bad thing. One of the top software engineers in Google is a female. Okay, so I just want to address that. If a female does choose to put her action behind the words and the career that she is taking, she can do it. But there is huge sacrifices that do come with that, and a more objective viewpoint that women need to take. I agree with you. It's very hard for women to detach from the emotional reality of what they're presented with. If anything, they also need better examples of how to own the value of the roles that they choose to take and how to better those. And that's not a bad thing. Again, we're out here in an environment that sees that idolizes people like Meg Thessalian, don't get me wrong, beautiful lady, but, okay, sorry, I'm going off topic here. I do agree 100% with the reality is men bring in, at present, the most economic benefits for the NBA. Women, they're just not equal. We're not on the same playing field, and we're not putting out the same results. Therefore, we should... and again, I remove myself from gender bias. I look at performance only, and those who are performing naturally should receive the economic benefits of that. That's what I believe. And I'm a woman. I wouldn't say that I look down on any other female. In fact, I demand more of us by way of being real, addressing who we are, and not denying our inherent nature. We need better examples.
Well said. Thank you.
Did I kill the vibe?
No. People have heard me say this before. I'm going to share my screen. So women's brains do not function the same as men. And I... So as Richard was saying, that there are some truths that have to be addressed and men need to be able to talk about them. So I'm doing a screen share right now. And sorry, I just want to make sure. I'm using technology here. Can you see this screen, Lee
yeah.
Poetry? Can you see what I put up on the screen? Are you able to see it?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So this article says women have more active brains than men, according to science. This is from August of 2017. And it starts with women's brains are significantly more active in many more regions than men's, according to new research. The findings could help explain why women are more vulnerable to anxiety, depression, insomnia, and eating disorders. The study by scientists from Amen Clinics in California is the biggest brain imaging survey to date. It compared over 46,000 brain scans from 9 clinics and analyzed the differences between a male's and female brain. Understanding these differences is important, the researchers say, because it helps shed more light on how brain disorders affect men and women differently. So essentially what they did was they put men and women in the same room, same situation, and they had all kind of neuroimaging, and they watched how women worried about things that men didn't worry about. So that would have women have a much longer decision-making process than a man does. It would also have women avoid risk where man would go towards the risk. There are other, our neurobiology is different, like our biochemicals. Men have some that will have them go towards risk, and women will have them that has them shy away from it. And it affects women's ability even to collaborate in high-pressure situations where men can actually have fights, arguments, and then at the end of it, let's go have a beer. Let's do what's in the best interest of everyone, and then go have a beer, before I kick your ass again. You know, it's like, you know, men can work through really tough things, and women just, their brains are not designed to function at that capacity. So when you look at running a business and leadership, there's a lot of decision making and there's a lot of risk. And women are not dealing with it the same way men are doing. They're making all these stories. They're worrying about things that men don't even consider. And you know what? When you think about it, they're, you know, whether it's walking down the street or being in a place with strangers, as a man, I'm not worried about certain things that a woman would be worried about. I mean, you know, I live in New Jersey, and, you know, New York City is like right there. And I would be out at 2, 3, 4 in the morning in Manhattan by myself, and I never saw a woman like that. Actually, I didn't even really see men by themselves. I'd see men like two guys or a group of guys. But as a woman, that would be almost like, and especially then when crime was bad, that would have been like a suicide mission, possibly. And I'm not saying men should rape and, you know, and rob and do these things, except you have to understand your environment, right? So maybe you're not going to walk through the Serengeti, you know, just in shorts and tennis, you know, and sandals, because a lion may, you know, come after you. You have to understand your environment. So women are worrying about things, and it's not because there's danger in the environment. It's just the way a woman's brain functions. So women deal with anxiety and depression, insomnia, eating disorders that really don't affect men at the same rate. And these are differences. And sometimes when you talk about protecting women, sometimes a man's job is to protect a woman from herself and her own anxiety, because she can be creating situations. And I know I'm speaking to a woman, and I'm not saying this to demean women in any way. It's what Richard was saying. There are certain things that men need to acknowledge. And as a society, we should stop pretending that they exist, so that we can create an environment that is in the best interest of everyone.
I 100% agree. They exist to complement and not to reject each other.
Right. We don't compete with one another.
No, we should ebb and flow. And I guess that's the poetry coming into to what you're saying. We actually should ebb and flow. And that is 100% spot on, is understanding the facts, understanding the neuroscience behind chemically how females work and how men work. Chemically, we're designed to house another human. So we have more fluctuations of those neurotransmitters, you know, the oxytocin, serotonin.
Exactly.
the dopamine, we have a higher fluctuation of those chemicals for reasons like that. We are bred to breed. Again, I'm not saying this, and I'm not saying this at all to demean myself or other women. It's an advantage, it's a strength, but it does not make me equal man. It makes me me. And that's just the reality. That's the factual science behind it. It has nothing to do with, well, I'm taking you off a pedestal and I'm putting someone else there. It's the reality. And identifying the neuroscience behind women and men can actually help us strengthen our relationships, strengthen our business understanding, because then we can better place ourselves and place the people we employ into the roles that do the most for the company. So I'll take it back to females, because these are the ones that I work with. I find that female software engineers who create mobile apps that are to grow an audience, to grow a social network, work the best because they are driven from those spaces. They know how to appeal to a comforting type nurturing environment, and they know how to create the most welcoming space. And I guess once more that goes back to the neuroscience and the inherent natures of people. And sorry if I am dragging this on, but I do also believe that there are some men out there, and this is absolutely no attack. This is, again, a strength. There are some men out there that do adapt more feminine qualities. I think the term phrase for them now is beta, but 100% they're still strong men because they are able to oscillate between the feminine side of knowing who they are as well as the masculine. And I think that takes up an incredibly self-aware man to, like you say, know that they still need to protect, not weaponize their masculine standing point and actually ebb and flow with their partner. And I feel more understanding of who we are in this sense. And it's a factual sense. It has nothing to do with, I feel you're attacking me. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the objective, the reality, and how you work with those two in whatever relationship or business partnership you're working in.
Right. That's right. So I like that you said business partnership, because if you have a business partner, maybe I'm great at sales and operations and my partner is great at finance and technology. And if I ever get upset with him because he's not a great salesman, then I'm squandering what my partner does well. I'm trying to force him to do something that, you know, I've committed that I'm better designed. You know, the things I've done in my past have prepared me for sales and operations, and the things he's done in his past prepared him for finance and technology. And so if we put that together, we'd go much further than any of us could do on our own.
Exactly, and I don't think that demeans either gender. That is acknowledging our strengths, our inequalities, and our ability to cohesively move forward. And I think at the moment there's so much weaponization behind masculine, feminine, and all titles that have been given instead of actual factual understanding.
So
and that requires a lot of self-awareness.
So it is, I feminism, is it being pushed hard in Australia?
Yes, and when modern day feminism, not the origins of feminism. So it's used to weaponize women to justify bad behavior. That's just,
okay.
It's apparent. So absolutely. So the modern day feminist is live and well in Australia.
Okay. So there's, and along with that, because one of the things that, you know, I'm going to bring two things together. So In the world of business, one of the things that you see happening is we're trying to make people more machine-like, more robotic in business, and we're trying to make robots more human-like. So we're going against our own nature, right? But on a social level, we're trying to force men to be more feminine and to tell women to be more masculine. It's the same thing as telling a human to be robotic and a robot to be human. So on two different fronts, in business and social, we're asking people to be something they were not designed to be, and we're wondering why there's so much conflict in both business and social. So are you all dealing with the same dynamics in Australia?
Absolutely. And to a degree, the ideologies that drive the actions behind these is peer pressure. The examples that we have, like Lana Del Rey, that I'm not sorry, sir, like I can't remember your name, but the example that you gave with Lana Del Rey and we want money, power, glory. These are the examples that have been driving these young girls to the behavioral patterns that they exhibit. They are exhibiting now, but demanding the equality still, if that makes sense.
So they're asking men to go out and seize the power, seize the moment, and then I'm going to take it all from you.
Yeah, they're not being accountable with action. It's a,
well,
I deserve equal rights, but I can't actually function at an equal capacity.
So what Richard said something before that maybe that makes women in some ways craftier, more sly than men, because hey, you go out and seize it, and then I'll swindle you out of it. You know, we had in the old 1800s, there were people who went around on a wagon, a horse and wagon, and they sold snake oil. They sold snake oil that could cure anything. It cured everything, and it gave you eternal life. It gave you, or you could live 50 years longer, you know. And they called them snake oil salesmen because they sold this, and that's really what they were selling. It was oil from snake, and it claimed, they never told you what it was, but, you know, it claimed they could do everything. So are we saying that women are snake oil salespeople and selling men on the idea on why you should give me equal, even though I haven't produced equal output?
Okay. I don't paint every female with the same brushstrokes, because there are definitely examples out there of people that introspectively approach things. But I will agree in the way that fluctuation of those biochemicals allow us to be more creative in every circumstance. Unfortunately, the examples which I go back to that demand of young girls to demand this of men without being accountable with action, absolutely 100% more prominent now in today's society. So young girls feel entitled. So it's a place of entitlement. It's instant gratification that they search for. And when they don't get it, instead of being accountable for bad behavior, they go and search for it elsewhere. This is the pattern that I am seeing in some of my fellow females. And obviously, it's statistically showing up. People are getting divorced. More people are getting divorced. People choosing to stay single longer are higher than they've ever been. The statistics almost mirror America. In the last 10 years, the divorce rates shot up. The only year where it was stagnant and actually started to decline was this year of COVID. And again, that brings me back to a really crucial point that I think we need to address. The functionality of marriage was evident through COVID, because people had to stay together because we didn't have money. The functional and traditional unit was required. And sorry, I'm going further on, but this is what I believe. If we don't get back to understanding our disparity, finding a middle ground, a real middle ground, then we're going to have an epidemic of its own in the future with solo parents. Since we're going to fund solo parents, the cost of living will be higher because we didn't actually acknowledge, going back to the strengths and weaknesses and the role placements that we should have done. So I try not to be a pessimist.
No, interesting you brought up COVID. So here in the U.S., 900,000 women left the workforce. Most of them were single women because they had no one, the schools were closed, so there was no one to take care of their children. So they voluntarily left. Some of them voluntarily left because they thought COVID was a hazard and they didn't want the risk. Men still went to work as doctors, sanitation workers, engineers, you just go down the list. And it showed when a crisis comes, that men will step up and continue to keep society moving, and women don't want to deal with the crisis the way men will.
They take the back to that nurturing, I need to be home and be with my children type of perspective. From what you was just the example that you gave me, I wasn't aware of those statistics. But it makes sense. I mean, I believe men are apex predators. If we're going back to the wild and something like that, they're driven to compete. They're driven to be in those high-risk, dangerous situations better than what females are. And again, going back to the science, go take it back to the wild. Take it wherever you need to be. The facts will be found. 100%. And again, it does highlight the need for the traditional unit and the understanding of each other's nature, because COVID was the only year that saw the stagnation of the divorce rate. And that was because they needed each other. They understood that they needed each other. And if we can stop encouraging, I can't articulate it correctly. I won't. But those are the stats, and we need to start looking back to the facts and how we can actually create better future generations in society. But it takes acknowledgement. It takes 100% awareness and accountability. That is my belief.
Well, marriage rates, divorce rates increased with COVID here. Even child abuse increased. So perhaps you all are more civil than we are here. But part of what happened, I did a show right at the beginning of COVID here. I asked the question, what's going to happen with divorce rates? And I predicted that the person you were married to that you could escape from by going to work, you now had no escape. You had to deal with them. And what you would find out is that you really never liked, you were never compatible, but you could tolerate one another as long as you could leave and go to work. But now that you had to stay in lockdown, and that's exactly what happened. Now, some people became closer, but that's the minority. There were people who, wow, you know, they really appreciated their spouse and having quality time with them. But a lot of people, it broke. And then when you add the fact that they had children who were at home and they had to deal with their children 24/7, where they could escape all those things. And it didn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mother or you go to work, I only imagine what happened to the people who were having affairs, that you could no longer have access to your, your extramarital affair. So, we have the courts were closed, and I spoke with attorneys, and courts around the country were backlogged with divorce at a much higher rate. So you all are civil over there in Australia.
Well, I need to correct myself then. I believed that I had found that research for America from Pew Research. So 100%, I like to be corrected and
maybe you're correct. Maybe you're correct. Maybe I'm just telling you what I think happened. So if both spouses worked, one spouse could actually stay home and the other one could go to work. So that family unit became extraordinarily valuable during COVID. All right, there was more value. And just as a side, I spent some time living in Belize. I lived with Mayan Indians. I lived in the jungle, no electricity, no running water. And I saw, like, and these were not stupid people. I wouldn't even say they were poor. But what I saw was relationship in its most primitive form. I worked with the men out in the field with agriculture, and all we had was, we chop down a jungle, make a hole in the ground, drop the seeds in it, and then you'd come back and chop away the jungle just to harvest whatever the crop was. But the men hunted, they were fishing, like all these traditional things that people say theoretically in the past this is the way it was. Well, I went and I lived that life for real. And I did it with different families, and I saw how the women just handle all the traditional, the house was cleaned and they cooked, but there were no stoves. So we literally had to cut firewood every single day so the women could cook. And the women would get up earlier, like 4:30 in the morning and start preparing the fire and and we'd be in bed by like 9, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So, you know, the days by 6:30 in the morning, I had done so much work. it was unbelievable. But everyone worked, and the women came out to the field with lunch, and we ate, and then they took everything back. And so it was, you watch this dynamic of how men and women, their survival depended on them cooperating with one another. And we've lost that.
And I think, again, going back to the fact, we will see depopulation. We will see, many solo homes come out of us going in these opposite directions that we seem to be doing, because we aren't acknowledging some of the realities of the inequalities that are out here. And you're absolutely right. My cultural background, my ethnic background, does the same thing. Obviously, because we're in an adaptive society now, we can't live exactly as they were, but I feel the fundamentals of that ebb and flow, and I always go back to ebb and flow, of female and male need to be honoured. They need to be given more of a spotlight. And that comes with reality, fact-checking. Let's fact-check ourselves, and let's be real with the introspective questions that we have to ask ourselves. And part of that filters into things like this, the WNBA. The woman can get paid the same for 14 achievements. Women in business, they should be paid as much as what men are, despite the fact that they are not producing as many results as what the men are in certain areas.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, females in HR, awesome, for the reason that they are in HR. And I think more of these questions and answers and being accountable for those answers need to be had rather than weaponizing. I see so much weaponizing also is not going to do good for our future generations.
Yes. So you have several thoughts. One is a personal question. Are you born into an Aboriginal family?
I am Māori Hawaiian by ethnic background.
Okay.
Yeah. And my people, I'm raised majority of around my Māori people who are in New Zealand. We're basically the same. We jump on across the sea often.
Right.
So we believe quite strongly in the traditional unit and the ongoing survival of that unit.
Okay.
And it is a... It's almost the requirement of us to acknowledge that.
Interesting. So culturally, you were raised to support the traditional family unit.
I was. And my parents have been together since they were 17. They've seen hardships, absolutely. And they've gone through the hardships again, something which I believe we all, not all of us again, not painting everyone with the same brushstroke, but we lack the ability to actively go through hardships and then come out of it while still respecting and honoring the traditional unit.
Okay. You speak your Maui?
Māori?
Maori? Is that the right way?
Yes, I speak Māori. I speak Olelo, which is Hawaiian.
Okay.
And I also speak Russian and I'm learning Spanish now. Oh, premier.
Da.
Меня зовут Нани. Меня зовут.
Oh, now you have me. That's it. I have to go to Portuguese or Spanish. So that's it. Well, I was asking that because there's so much built into language. Like, there's so much of the culture that's in language. And even for things that can be translated, there's some things culturally that are not translatable because you may not have that. Or it could be seen as a threat. So,
right.
You know, oh, that's patriarchal and, you know, that's suppressive, that's oppressive to women. And we need to save that. So they may want to save you and your people because they believe you're being oppressed by your men.
Absolutely. They 100% do.
Right. I don't want to go off topic, but I've heard great things about Samoan people. But your people have done a great job of holding your culture and being able to pass that down for generations in the face of colonialism. So, yeah, I salute you for that.
The influences of modern day society are definitely apparent, though. You see a lot more of our younger people, and myself included, I'm not innocent. I have worked for the state, have been misguided with some of the ideologies that we have been around the equality narrative. So 100%. So I had to actually step away, educate myself, reform what it meant to me, and then make my own clear standpoint.
How did you do that?
Again, introspective, I always, my mother, she's high on accountability and looking inward first and asking ourselves real questions that are void of the leading narratives that we always see.
Did you go back and live with your people for like kind of like in isolation to just immerse yourself in your culture or no?
It was isolation from things like media, social media,
okay.
Using it as education, but not as something that can misguide me or mislead me down paths that were not answering my inherent nature. And again, that came from being truly accountable for my mistakes and for the actions and decisions I'm going to make moving forward into my future. And that requires like a strong, in my perspective, a strong sense of value and knowing what that is. And again, you have to go back to the facts to actually check yourself, because you know people can't be out here wanting the world but not checking themselves on whether they're accountable or whether they actually have put in the work to deserve the world.
Okay.
So
I'm going to ask you a question on what we could say to women, but I have a very harsh perspective on that. So, and I would give for the women who absolutely believe they don't need a man and they can do anything a man can do but better, because I heard that from a very young age. So I have two ways that you can solve that. One is if you feel like this is a patriarchy and you're being poorly treated and unfair opportunities, pack your bags, move, you know, we'll set aside an island for those women and they can move off and they can do just like men have done. They can extract all the natural resources they need and drill oil and mine iron ore and copper and everything else and grow their food. And they can build their own society just with women. And I don't think any man would object, because I don't think most women would take that option. The other way is to just compete truly like men and make women-only companies and build cars and make clothes and grow food and have water supply, do all those things that all the structures, the infrastructure that it takes to make a society work, build, you know, create companies that can do that and compete in the open market, and we'll let the world decide who the winners are. Those are two ways for women to do that. While I think most women don't want to take that path, what I do think is men need to start thinking from that perspective, as opposed to feeling like they should be defensive for being masculine or for being a man. And I see you've stepped away. So, Richard, are you still there? Country boy, are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I know you
can. Sure.
You guys have been listening and you've allowed me, oh, her screen must have froze, so she must have gotten locked out. But I wanted to get some thoughts from you guys. I wanted you to engage her also.
Okay, the other gentleman, go ahead. Is he ready?
Country boy. Go ahead, country boy.
No, sir. He can go ahead.
Yeah, well, Ted, I noticed you kind of, I'm going to say you oscillate. And I think you're just opening up the floor for ideas. But women would never – look, this is all women will ever do, contend unfairly for what men both build and maintain. That's it. But the real problem is – and this is the problem the Supreme Court is going to be dealing with – is the fact that women have equal rights. That cannot be gotten around. The fact that they have equal rights demands equal accountability, period. There's no place to go from there but to, you know, lay the law down based on that. Now, what men can do, if this is still consistent with the topic and you let me know, is start requiring from a fundamental level, dating, going out, that women, share their part, that they participate equally. And look, one other thing I wanted to say, and that is in a personal relationship, men can take accountability of women's weaknesses or perceived weaknesses, fine. But when you're in a professional situation, those cannot come into play. It's all about performance, period. And now I believe in certainly equal opportunity, but not equal outcome. See, women want equal outcomes. That's what they want. They want to bring their substandard whatever there, and this is not all women, but certainly a majority of vocal women, and they want to use the law to do it. See, that's the problem. The law has to be fought by men so that it will not use its power against men. That's what it's doing. Reproduction, family court, from the military, corporate America. I mean, all the way down, that's what women are saying. They're saying we want an equal share of the pie and we don't have to participate on an equal footing with men. And so they play both sides of the scale, as it were. On the one side, they want to be victims, and on the other side, they want to be victors. I mean, come on.
But see, Richard, that's what I'm saying.
That's schizophrenic.
But see, Richard, here's what I'm saying. If men took a real stand and said, if things are that awful, look, here are facts. You're not producing like men. However, if you still believe you should have these opportunities, pack up and leave if it's that bad. No one's keeping you. No man is going to stop you. If you think you can go off and build your own society, pack up and leave. If you don't want to do that, then start businesses with women only and show that you can actually outperform us. Let the marketplace say who has a better product.
Right, and I think that's a great counter hypothesis. I think that's great. But they will never, ever, ever, never take you up on that. They won't do it.
And
they know that it's a game that's being played, and they're playing to win based on the resources of men. They're never going to say, because they can't do it. Well, strike that. I don't want to say they can't do it. They won't do it. I think women can do just about anything men can do. I was watching these women weightlifters, right? And these women were lifting like 500-600 pounds. I'm not kidding. But obviously they practiced, they focused, and they put themselves in. Now, most men, I know I can't lift that much. I never will be able to lift that much. I don't even want to lift that much. But the fact of the matter is they can do virtually anything men can do. And, you know, you made an excellent point last time when you said it was out of boredom that feminism got its genesis. And that's right. These were middle-class women sitting home while their husbands were out laboring, working, and they were pissed off because they didn't have all the options they felt they should have had. I mean, go figure. And so they'll never go off on their own to be autonomous. No, they want what you got, and they want it on their terms. That's the way they think.
See, that it's only because men allow it. I'm telling you, when women start, and I've even had conversations with my female cousins who we have mutual affinity for one another, and they say, well, men this, and I say, well, you know, cousin, why don't you and women who feel this way pack up and leave and go start your own island? And usually the response is, for most women, is we should. And I'm like, yeah, but you're saying this on a cell phone created by men, right? So, you're on a computer, you're driving on a car, men created this, on roads that men build. So you all don't want that, but that would be the ideal solution. If you think men are oppressing you, leave. Don't stay in a situation that's if it's not healthy for you. But I brought up that article on women's neurobiology because it's much easier to exploit women through propaganda because they worry about things more. You can feed on that, and that's really that all that's happened. Women worry about things that never happened, it's never going to happen, and it's not happening now. Except if you...
Okay, may I address that, Ted? Allow me to address that.
Right.
I don't disagree that is... I don't disagree that that's not occurring, but I would look at why is it occurring? You've heard the old adage, what does it say? An empty wagon makes a lot of noise. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. The reason basically is because we haven't required women to be conditioned better. Yes, they suffer from anxiety more and depression. But what is depression? Lack of activity. Like if you go bike riding, and you know, I know bike riding is not a miracle cure, but be depressed while you're riding a bike or while you're working out, while you're walking, while you're running. And then you can look at the fat ratio, the morbid obesity of women primarily. And so the thing is, yes, they are the way you said, but the reason they're the way you said is because no standard has been placed on them to be otherwise. See, we kick a man in the ass if he doesn't perform. We let him know that he's nothing, zero, if he doesn't perform. But we don't do that to women. We don't say that you're an incel, you have no relationship skills, the way you're behaving now, you're being worthless. We just don't say that. Even though it's factual, we don't see it. So that's the reason I believe that much of what you say exists. It's not because it has to exist. Man, let's look at men. There are a lot of issues that men have, but we don't give a shit. Look at all the men. I think about 80%, and I'm going to understate it for purposes of being realistic, about 80% of the homeless are men. Why is that? Because we don't care as much. A man screws up, we say, okay, bite it, buddy. You've got to get out there and live lower than an animal because you screwed up. But with women, we look for every kind of excuse to rescue them.
Hold it, Richie.
Now, interestingly enough, more of them are becoming homeless, and that was indicated in one of the questions I asked. More women are going onto the street. Why? Because
hold
they
on.
Have forced.
Hold on. I want to catch you where you were. So one of the things that we are not doing as men is sitting back and saying, why are there so many more men homeless than ever? And so you have some of them may, hey buddy, suck it up. You need to put in your part, right? There are those men. But then you have men who've been devastated financially, and they end up homeless. And what the other reality is, you have men being displaced. Yes, there's technology displacing jobs. You have outsourcing. They're sending jobs to China and India, Mexico. But you also have low-wage workers. Some of them, low-wage workers, are coming across the border, and others are women. So it's cheaper. If I can pay a woman 70 cents on a dollar, even if I don't get the same productivity, I displace men. So as a society, we're not stepping back and looking at, we're displacing men and choosing women instead of men, yet we still have the same expectations of men to perform, yet we're displacing them in the workforce. You know, we're not taking a step back and looking at what in this whole scheme of things, in the big picture, is this in our best interest?
Well,
I'm sorry, what you just said, displacing.
Yeah,
say this specific again. I didn't quite comprehend what you said.
If we're displacing men, if we're choosing women over men, even though they don't form as well, but they're a lower wage workers, right? If you can pay a woman 70 or 85 cents on a dollar over a man, but we're displacing the men. So if we choose, if we have programs that say hire women instead of men, we're now displacing men and they end up homeless. Is that in the best interest of our society?
Oh, okay, let me say this. That's a sort of complicated formula there. But I think many of the men, and I listen to the experts in this area, like there's a Reverend Andy Bale. He works with the mission in Los Angeles. And what he points out is higher than 90% of men that are homeless are drug addicts. In other words, they've chosen short-term outcomes, i.e. using drugs, and as opposed to not using drugs. So most of your homeless are there because they've used drugs, according to him. But let me shoot at another thing that you said, or address another thing you've said. You talked about women being afraid. Now, it's safer now than it has ever been for everybody, including women. But now many of those men that are criminals and ne'er-do-wells and horrible people were often raised by women, more specifically single mothers. So right. There, the woman is totally looped back into the equation of she has created the very situation that she loathes. She has created that situation because she has often created a fatherless home where there was not the direction and instructions so that the young man, and women, by the way, but we're talking about men now, if we talk about the fear factor, these men were often raised by single mothers. There's no disputing that.
Right. I understand that, and I want to address everything you said. So first, thank you, Red Phil Reakin, and for sure you're welcome. You said, what's good? Just showing some support, and thanks for the knowledge from the convo we had last week. Much appreciated. Yeah, I appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot for the support. So,
is the lady back? I'll bow out and listen to her. Is she back?
No. She's watching from. She's watching. She's in a chat, so she's still watching on YouTube. She's still present. She's not speaking. Her phone died.
Okay. Go ahead. All right. Thank you.
So, what's happening across races? You could say the black community was like an experiment. If you give the jobs to women instead of men, a few things happen. Yes, men start turning to alcohol and drugs. It's not that they were already drug addicts and alcoholics. They couldn't get, they became, they were not getting the work that they wanted. And I gave a few reasons for how men get displaced. And one of them is if you give the jobs to women instead of men, a man will take the job and think, wow, I make enough money, I can take care of a family. I'll marry a woman, I'll have children, and I'll take care of them. When you give a woman a job, she just thinks, I've got money and I don't need a man, and she'll have a children, and she'll raise the children the way you just said, right? She'll raise the kind of men she doesn't like because they're without a father in the home. But the thing is, men are turning to drugs, alcohol, and crime because they are they're not being employed. They're being displaced. And you have to think what happens. So it's not that they were drug addicts and they couldn't find jobs. They couldn't find jobs and went to drugs. I'm not condoning that. I'm saying it initially started happening with the black race in the U.S. in the 60s and 70s. But there's a white guy named Charles Murray. He wrote a book called Coming Apart, and he didn't want to talk about anything except the white community. And he's talking about how that exact dynamic is now happening in white communities. The working class has become poorer and poorer. They're giving jobs to women instead of the men, and the men are, they're either drug dealers dealing meth and other things, but for them to be a drug dealer, they have customers. So there are more men doing drugs, and now they're unemployable because they're drug addicts now. So this is a problem. And as I said, women will take the job and go be a single mother, and that's not the best home environment for a child. And a man thinks about what he's going to do for capital, and it adds to the community. We give women capital, and they create negative dynamics for the community. And they end up raising the very men they no longer want. So this is what I'm saying about looking at the bigger picture. These men are not just drug addicts who couldn't find jobs. They couldn't find jobs and became drug addicts or drug dealers, alcoholics, criminals.
So this is my whole beef with what you just said, Ted, and where I'm lagging behind it. Okay, so is it the baby boomers or is it your age group or one of the other age groups in between the baby boomers and your age group that caused all this single mama spectacle that we got going on and kicking the man at the house and all that? Which group of these men is responsible for that? Because I really would like to know, in all honesty.
It would have started with people born in the late 30s to early 50s.
That's interesting that you say that, because I found some articles stating that the feminism jump started in the late 1800s. So I was asking both you and Mr. Richard to try to tie this stuff in along with the agenda of what we got going on right now.
Yeah, that's slightly different conversation. But yes, in the 1800s, some say before that, feminism was coined by a French man in 1837. I'll butcher his name if I try to say it. His name was Charles Fourier, and 1837 is when he coined the term feminism. So women didn't make up the word feminism, a man did. So part of it to get men out of the home, even to get the extended family was broken up. Two, three generations. So my grandfather grew up with his parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. So,
well, Ted, I'll give you part of what you just expressed, but I can't go too far with that, because I think personal responsibility and accountability comes into play whether we're talking about men or women. And using drugs that burn out your brain and puts one at a disadvantage is the jurisdiction of the person that's doing it. Regardless of the outside forces, it is still a choice that they make. And I think, as you can readily discern, all of us have had difficulty, and we could have taken the easy way out, but we didn't do it. So people who do it, again, accountability is very, very crucial here. But there are a number of problems that come to play here that create the negative situation for people who are less sophisticated. Example, if you get a chance, go to the Minneapolis Federal Reserve Inflation Calculator and also the Department of Labor puts out an inflation calculator too, and they're very similar. Well, the government manipulated the money to force, even with married couples, to force the woman into the workforce. So because they couldn't afford, if you go back to the 60s and earlier, 50s, 60s, maybe all the way up to the 70s, one person, an unskilled person, could, usually the man, could support a family on one income. Can't do that today, because they may be making the same amount of dollars or a few more dollars, but those dollars do not have the purchasing power. And I think it was Warren Buffett said, only one person in a million understands inflation. So inflation plays a huge role. And from what I understand, they say there hasn't been a raise given to workers in over 25 years. They haven't had a raise that put them above the inflation rate. So that's a huge setback to people also.
Well, do you know why that inflation has happened?
Of course. I mean, well, yeah, I know why it is, but the thing of it is most people don't, and they won't.
Why do you think it's happened?
Well, if you go back to the old dictionary, it says inflation is the result. Now, most people will say it's the rise in prices. No. It's government infusion of money that causes prices to rise, and it deals with supply and demand. The more money that's injected into the system, or I should say currency, the less value the existing currency has, the less purchasing power it has. So hence you need more of those diminishing units, currency units, to purchase the same thing. And look at the prices now. As a result of all these trillions of dollars that – go ahead.
Well, there's a very quiet inflationary factor that it seems no one wants to accept. It's researchable. So when you look at productivity capacity from 1948 until 1968 in the U.S., productivity capacity was 108%. That means from 1948 until 1968, the workforce was performing at more than 100%, right? They were at 108%, slightly over. That means a lot of people were working, you could say hard, putting in extra hours, but they were overperforming our maximum, whatever 100% was, they overperformed that. From 1969 until 2015, it was 69%. That's a huge drop. And what has changed in our society is that we have more women in the workforce. And there are jobs where women outperform men. And if you look historically, you can go back to the 30s, find that there have been women in the workforce. Those women were extraordinary. They earned their way into their positions. You'll find this throughout history.
At least two things you have to take into account.
What you have now is that we've allowed more than the exceptional woman, and we've allowed mediocrity in. And there are a lot of jobs in, like you said, the Department of Labor, women don't put in the hours of that men do, and they generally don't put in the same output per hour over the long term. I talked about how in World War II, they had to significantly increase the hours because the men needed more supplies, and accidents for women went up 150%. That affects profits. So if you look at the productivity of the United States being down to 69%, that means companies have to raise prices to subsidize a higher percentage of less productive workers. That's the only way you're going to exist profitably, is you have to subsidize lower performers, as opposed to from 1948 until 68, where you had the bulk of higher performers, where you were operating above 100%. Now you're significantly below 100%. And the only way for a company to survive in that environment is to increase prices and suppress wages. That's what's got us. Now you have to have two people working in a household. A factory worker can't support his family like he did in 1968.
Right, and one of the right, I hear what you're saying, but one of the reasons for that, one of the huge reasons, according to Bankrate.com, the average person in America, or I think it was like half of Americans, or roughly half, don't have $500 to meet an emergency. So people aren't saving. The Fed has cut the interest rates to virtually zero, So they're not making any, back in the 80s, I think it was like one could earn 12% on a CD. Today, it's less than 1%. And also, you have to look at the fact that I recall that a Ford, I'm trying to think of the name of the car, Mustang, was like $2,500 in the 60s. Okay, the median income today is like $50,000, all right? Now, the price of a car today is more than 10 times that amount. So it's more than half of a person's annual salary. And so the thing is, the prices have gone up, and I heard what you said about why employers had to, well, they went overseas too, because labor is very expensive. But it's also because the value, the purchasing power of the money, which is in control of the government, they're the ones that are responsible for that. The purchasing power has severely decreased. So people really, even though they have the same amount of dollars numerically, those dollars don't buy as much. And that was one of the main reasons that the woman had to go out and get a job, because they just couldn't afford that middle-class lifestyle. You know, two cars, a home, the picket fence, 2.1 kids and a dog, and so on and so forth. And people are really hurting today. And then we had this COVID hit us, and that just really set things in a tailspin.
Women had to go to work because they were in the workforce and underperforming men. That's why.
Well, you know, after World War II, the women were the major workforce. They were the men, and they were encouraged to go back home, and that's where your baby boomers came from, right? And then there was a resurgence of women in the workforce in the early to mid-70s.
After World War II, men came home and went back to work. They gave the jobs back to men.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But the fact of the matter is there was a resurgence. The second time women went into the workforce is not because there weren't any men, but there just wasn't enough money, because the money had been devalued to the point they couldn't afford the middle-class lifestyle. Do you concur with that?
Just think about this. If you have, before you came on, I can tell you factually, in the medical profession, with medical doctors, gynecologists, I'll get very specific. Back in male gynecologists will work outrageous hours. They'll get bonuses. They'll service more customers because they'll put in 12, 14, 16-hour days. The women, the same exact profession, want to do 8 hours and they don't want to work anymore. So what does that mean? If a hospital employs, let's hypothetically say, 100 male doctors and they get the job done because they work long hours and they get to each patient. And when they work 7, 8, you know, hours, they still are fresh and they're strong. They're physically more able to put in quality work. Women they want to get the same wage as the man and work less hours, and they're not producing the same results as men. This is how our healthcare costs get pushed up, because before, the same hospital could hire 100 men. Now, to do the same job with women, they have to hire 150 women to get the same job that 100 men did. So they have more salaries. So what do? They push those costs onto the consumers. That has nothing to do with the Federal Reserve and the government. That is business.
Milton Rich.
Let me just say this. Ted, can you still hear me? My battery is running low. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. If I go off, my battery just ran low. But look here, I hear what you're saying, but I think the example that you utilized is not a good example, simply because doctors are high per earners per se. And I was more or less gearing it to the average working person. See, doctors make doctors earn 5 to 10 times what the average person earns. So their salaries are considered exalted anyway, okay? Doctors, I mean, a doctor, especially a specialist, can earn in excess of $500,000 a year easily. So they definitely keep up with inflation. I was talking about the average working person.
Oh,
you see the difference?
You're missing what I'm saying. They have to hire more women to do the same job as men, which means that their salaries are significantly higher. They have more expenses. They're hiring more women to do the same job as men. So let's say they were paying $10 million a year in salaries for men. Now they're paying $12 million in salaries pay women. And so I'm using doctors because this is not a theory. This is literally happening in the
Right. No, I get it. And I agree with you there. I have no problem. Everything you said is fine.
The only thing
I disagree with is using doctors to make the point simply because, and I'm not disagreeing with the nuts and bolts that you gave. I don't disagree with that. And with respect to women working fewer hours, absolutely. But remember this. Overall, women are smarter than men. I'm going to say this. They're more cunning. They're smarter because, see, women work mainly for lifestyle choice. They don't work. Most women don't work sacrificially. They say they take off to take care of other people and this sort of thing. There was a study done, I believe it was on 60 Minutes a few years back now, and they found out.
Richard, hold on, man. All I'm saying is if you extrapolate my example, it doesn't matter what industry or profession a person has. If you have to hire more people to get the same job, that means the consumer has to subsidize that, which means prices are up. It doesn't matter what profession it is. I'm saying if you're less...
It does because women are polarized in particular positions. They're not usually in manufacturing. Most women work in the tertiary sector. They don't work in the primary and secondary sectors. Do you concur with that?
No, women are in a lot of, no, manufacturing, they're in automobile making. No, it's because technology has made it easier to hire women.
But that's recent. And still, most of your jobs, like I say, look, women don't push to be plumbers and to be electricians and to be power plant operators. That is not where they coagulate. They are in HR and positions that are comfortable and safe. The dangerous, dirty jobs are still allocated to men. The long hours, truckers. Sure, there are a few women in truckers, but that the exception proves the rule. The exception to the rule proves the rule. Do you agree with that?
I understand, but you have to understand the more women you put in the workforce, the lower productivity is on a micro scale. And that's
I agree. I agree. Let the other guy go ahead, and I'll just listen. I agree with that, but go ahead.
That is the reason the cost of living has gone up. You put in there are areas where women are more productive than men. There are certain jobs. And I get that, but it's not across the board. And we've made across the board changes, which means we put more underperformers in jobs. Someone has to pay for that if the company's going to exist. Go ahead, Kendrick.
Just real brief, Chad. I do want to piggyback, if I may. He was saying something about the devaluing the currency or money or something.
But this
the question that I would pose to both of you gentlemen. So if that's the case, then with the hyperinflation situation, so theoretically, what's subject to happen to the currency, Ted, if, you know, if we get back on some type of gold standard or silver standard, Ted, with the coinage and the mintage in our currency reserves or whatever?
I'm not an economist. I'm not going to speculate on that one.
You know, but you understand the question I'm asking, though, right?
Yeah.
Because they you know, they were saying we was on a gold standard at one point in time until one of them presidents took us off of it. So
right.
I don't know if that's got anything to do with the inflation and things or not. So, you know. But yes, sir, I understand your topic about the, do you hire more women to do the job with less men are capable of doing. Now, I understand it perfectly well.
Okay. So if we take it back to the topic of the show tonight, let's say that we pay women in the NBA significantly more. Let's say we double the salaries. The women are not performing at the rate men are. It's easy for everyone to see that. They're not filling the seats. They're not getting sponsors. And even though they may have practiced for years, they're not performing at the same rate as men. So if we double the salaries, that will cause inflation. Someone has to pay for that. So, and that's going to be passed on to the consumer. There's no way that for the organist, otherwise the company that owns the teams in the WNBA is going to go out of business. So the only way he's going to make it is he's got to raise his prices. So you're going to pay more to watch them to watch them live. And that's what I'm saying. When you the WNBA is a perfect example. The men in the NBA, they earn their keep. There are all kinds of formulas to look at. How do we make basketball economical? I can pay this guy $100 million over 10 years because he can earn it. He's going to draw a crowd. He's going to get points. My sponsors are going to, you know, want to sponsor the game because of this guy. I'm going to make my money back.
I'll respond to that if you finished.
Well, if you pay women those salaries, it's going to take you 100 years. I'm exaggerating, but it's going to take you a long time to get your money back. And that's the economy that we have set up. We're rewarding underperformers, and someone has to subsidize that.
Right. Well, they will go out of business, though, because they're not that essential. That's what I would predict. They will just simply cease to exist because they won't be able, number one, to pass it on to the viewers or the ticket purchasers. And, of course, I wouldn't buy the products that they, you know, there's a certain amount that I'm going to pay for a burger. And once it goes past that cost, I'll either make the burger myself or I'll buy it someplace else. So, in other words, I'm
right.
just simply saying they'll price themselves out of the market. And by the way, before it even gets to that, I don't think the team owners will buy into it. It would take the government forcing them to do it, first of all. And I don't think they're going to be forced into doing it.
Well, see, but that is what I'm saying about the macro economy. See, it's easy for us to see it with the WNBA. It's so easy. But when you look at business across the board, across industries, the same thing is happening. Well, one of the things that happens, and most people don't want to talk about this, is you look at women in sales. There are some women who can outperform men in sales. They do a great job. But there are a lot of women who are single mothers who have a sales job in a Fortune 500, and they are underperforming. And if you have, especially if you have a female manager, she will not fire that woman because she's a single mother. If he was a guy, even with a family, they would fire him for underperforming. What I'm getting at is that there are so many different areas where women are underperforming men, yet we keep them, and so someone has to pay that. So if you want a car, if you want food, all of these things that are essential, you're still going to pay the exorbitant price for a car because it's essential. If you want clothing,
You know, at some point, you're going to have to buy clothing. You need hair care products. There are all these things where the prices have gone up, the cost of rent. And just as a quick side, you know, you probably know mortgages didn't always exist. I think, what was it, the 70s when mortgages existed? Before that, you had to pay cash for a house. So once they put mortgages in place, they started charging exorbitant. Then they could charge more for the price of a house. Houses generally went up only 3% a year, and you paid cash, and that was it. Once they have mortgages, you could finance something that you couldn't afford. But look, what I'm getting on a micro scale, if you use the WNBA as a micro for the macro, for the entire economy, if we were to double salaries for the women in the WNBA, they're not covering the cost of what it takes to run their team, coaches, equipment, facility. Like, all of these things cost money. They're not covering their fair share.
So right. Give me a quick idea, Ted. What would you say the top female WNBA player is earning right now per annum?
About, let's just say $150,000.
Okay. And they're not really worth that, but that's considered chicken feed compared to what the men earn. I mean, the men are getting multi-million-dollar contracts, correct?
Hey, you mind if I'm going to share an article where someone actually covered this. So let me, and it'll answer your question. Let's see. Because you have good questions. I had this article sitting here. So, okay. Visualizing the gap. This is the NBA and WNBA wage gap explained via professional chess, Major League Soccer, and Hero Ball. It starts off, meet Anthony and Natasha. If you follow basketball, and maybe even if you don't, you've probably heard of him. Anthony Davis is a superstar. Let's see. This article was written, it looks like March of this year, I think. Okay. So Anthony Davis is a superstar. He was a first overall pick in the NBA draft in 2012. He's seven-time All-Star and as of 2020, he's got a ring. You probably haven't heard of her, but Natasha Howard is also a superstar. She was 2019 WNBA Defensive Player of the Year. She was second in the league in blocks. She, too, played and dominated in 2019 WNBA All-Star game, and as of 2020, she has a second ring. In fact, stat for stat, Natasha Howard plays and dominates her respective league in an eerily similar way to Anthony Davis. And actually, there are a number of statistical doppelgangers between the two. I generated 30,000 player comparisons. Check out the data or read a full analysis. And I'll drop the link to this article if you guys want it. Because he has all charts in here. You can see player dominance per category, Anthony, and he put different players in here. He says, okay, the Kawhi Leonard of the WNBA might well be Dawana Bonner, the Christy Poliver of the NBA. You make a strong case for LeBron James, Donovan Mitchell, and Eric Agumbawale play the game identical. The list is on. Hey, someone has a voice. Can you go on mute with your computer? Go on mute. Okay, despite dominating in similar ways, they receive astronomically dissimilar compensation. This isn't likely to surprise most readers. What is surprising is the size of the gap. In America, on average, a woman makes 89% of what a man makes, despite having the same amount of experience and holding the same position. The average salary of an NBA player is $7.7 million. In the WNBA, is closer to $75,000. So the female athletes are making about 1% of the salaries of their male counterparts. Anthony Davis makes $27 million a year. One of his closest comparators statistically in terms of dominance, Natasha Howard, makes $117,000 a year. In the case of Davis and Howard, she makes 0.43% of what he makes. But this, of course, is just the surface and far from the whole story. What constitutes appropriate compensation? Are WNBA players paid appropriately considering the size and commercial success of the game? Can we compare them to the major MLS, NHL, MLB, or even the professional esports league? To see if there is a wage gap based on gender alone, is the size and financial prowess of a league proportional to the amount it pays to its players? To begin to answer these questions, we can compare the WNBA with other professional sports leagues and factor in things like total revenue, aggregate players, average salary, and number of teams. We can start by charting how much each league is paying their players relative to the amount of money they make. And so you guys can see he's got a chart here. And interesting, revenue per player for the WNBA is $438,000. The Canadian Football League is $483,000. Australian football, I guess that's rugby, I assume, is $2 million per player. The NHL makes $7 million, right, is what they, the revenue they make per player. Baseball makes $6 million per player. NFL makes $10 million per player. And the NBA makes $20 million per player. So this is interesting. So the NBA makes $20 million per player, and the WNBA makes $438,000 per player. You'll notice that as a league makes more revenue, dark blue, it can pay its players more money, light blue. It's not linear. It's exponential. Every league listed above falls on this curve. According to this data set, WNBA players make just as much as you would expect athletes to make on a total league revenue. In essence, this data point has been used to argue that their wages are fair. Other female athletes have seen this explanation used to justify their unequal pay. When the U.S. Women's National Soccer League, ranked number one in the world, filed a class action lawsuit against the U.S. Soccer Federation alleging that they're paid and supported unfairly, the federation blamed economics. The Soccer Federation denied the claims in women's lawsuit, arguing in a May court filing that the pay differential between the women and men and women players is based on differences in aggregate revenue generated by different teams and or other factor other than sex, and that the two teams are physically and functionally separate organizations. That's what the Soccer Federation said. So he goes on to say, yes, revenue matters, but it's also starting to become clear that how we perceive and consume women's sports contributes to the size and overall pie and thereby the size and pay gap. Professional basketball and professional chess have more in common than you think. Is it really true that there's just less interest? Are male basketball players just more entertaining? Do they simply possess more talent that draws larger crowds with deeper pockets? After all, professional female and male basketball players are both playing basketball, albeit different approaches. So how much does gender factor in into the gaps in revenue and respect? Fans of Netflix, Misery's miniseries. Okay, fans of Netflix miniseries, The Queen's Gambit, might appreciate the next bit. In the world of professional chess, there exists a bias that male players are far superior. China's Qiu Yifan is ranked 83 globally. She is the highest ranked female among all professional chess players. The highest ranked male number one in the world is Norway's Magnus Carlsen. Like in professional basketball, most fans of chess know and idolize Carlsen. They're less likely to do the same for Yifan, considering there are 82 chess players ahead of her, all male. But according to NYU professor Wei Ji Ma, in his piece titled, What Gender Gap in Chess, There is no evidence that the achievement gap is anything but a participation gap. Statistically, there is nothing to suggest that top female players are underperforming given the overall ratio of female to male players. In fact, taking into account the systematic injustices and biases that they had to overcome to get where they are likely overperforming. The same may be true for the WNBA, which is three times smaller than the NBA. If hypothetically there were the same number of women as men playing professional basketball, then the perceived differences in talent could be less apparent and the revenue disparity could shrink significantly. However, while chess serves as a helpful introduction to participation gaps, there's one obvious caveat. Women are playing men and women in chess, right? So women are playing both men and women in chess. Women are only playing women in basketball. Still, I believe this is worth mentioning. The key takeaway from the chess study for me was that increasing the overall talent pool for female basketball players potentially serves to lessen the participation of a massive talent disparity, as well as elevating the overall level of play in the WNBA. A revenue or pay gap stems in large part from participation gaps. Men and women may not play together, but more and more good players correlates with more teams, more sponsorship revenue, more attention, and higher salaries. Team count. So the Major League Baseball has 32 teams. The NFL has 32. The Hockey League has 31. NBA has 30. Major League Soccer has 26. EPL. NBA has 12 different teams. And so the total revenue, so here's the other thing. Major League Baseball has 1,026 players. NFL has more, almost 1,700 players, 1,696. NFL has a lot of players. In the NHL, hockey has 713. NBA has 450. Soccer has 780. And NBA has 144. But then when you look at revenues for Major League Baseball, it's $10 billion. Football is $16 billion. Hockey, $5 billion. NBA, $8 billion. Soccer, $1 billion. And damn, the WNBA total revenue was $63 million. I mean, this is a big difference.
Hey, Ted, I want to make a quick comment.
Go ahead. This article's too long, so go ahead.
This just goes back to what you said earlier. This is all bullshit. This is a big, stinking pile of horse manure, all right? Because the way to solve this is to take the WBA players and make them part of the overall NBA. Because first of all, now, I made a mistake earlier. I have watched a few WNBA games, and I noticed the disparity in the seats. There were very few people. It reminded me of a mediocre high school basketball team. But the way to resolve this is let them compete against the men, because otherwise it's an exercise in futility. It's an exercise in futility. Either they accept it the way it is. I'm sorry. Did you say something? I couldn't hear you.
I just said exactly. I'll be quiet.
Either accept it the way it is or compete with the males. That's the way to do it. That's the only way to do it. But to force, owners to pay them where it's not commensurate with the capitalistic underpinnings, or it's just not a good business practice. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And so, but to look at it any other way is foolish. Now, if they're able to convince people, smoke screens, smoking mirrors, and guilt people into doing it, then so be it. But the fact of the matter is they're not that good. There's not that much of demand. Look, men defy men defy nature, all the jumping and springing they can do. Now, I read an article about Kobe Bryant. Men pay a great price for that. Kobe right. Bryant, I'm sorry he got killed, of course, but and he caused that too because he overdid it in an area that was very dangerous. The helicopters are inherently dangerous. But the fact of the matter is he was a wreck. He had knee problems, back problems, stomach problems. I mean, he played for 20 years. He was a good player, but he wrecked his body. So men pay a huge price for sacrificing their bodies in that demanding physical environment. But we like it. We like to see him make those jump shots and dunk or whatever else he did. But women can't do that. Women aren't as exciting in sports. Now, I like seeing women runners. I like seeing them in those little tight shorts and that sort of thing. That's kind of sexy. But women playing basketball, beach volleyball, I like to see. Now, if it was for beach volleyball, I'm all for it, but I say they need to wear bikinis, but see, that's a different story. That's different. But the fact of the matter is, what do you call it, where they wear negligee football, female players? I like that.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, for pure physicality, women just aren't exciting. They just aren't. And so to force someone to pay to watch paint dry is just it's obscene.
Okay, so Richard, if you look at this WNBA, the major reason I brought it up is because it really is a microcosm as to what I'm questioning: is this what has actually happened in the rest of the economy? That women made demands that were unsubstantiated and men gave them a pass. So like you said, if women can get their salaries doubled or tripled in the WNBA, you said good for them, they're smart, and they sold snake oil. Good job, right? What someone has to pay for that. And this is how we end up with a higher cost of living.
Well, the stupid should pay for it. If we allow it, we're stupid. And we should pay for being stupid. Okay, I mean that. I mean it is comical. It's hilarious. I'm laughing my ass off. But if they can con us, and that's what it is, if they can look, let me say this, the tennis player, I like sports. I used to play sports. And I still play sports. But the fact of the matter is, if you take the top ranked woman in tennis, she can't beat, now correct me if I'm wrong on this, Ted, she can't beat the 100th, and I'm giving her more credit, she can't beat the 100th ranked man. In other words, the top woman in tennis, the top female
right.
tennis player, cannot
right.
beat a male who's ranked at the 100th tennis player. Is that correct or close to? It's probably 200th tennis player or 180th tennis male tennis player. But I'm just going to go with the 100th tennis player.
So
you take the top, you take the 100th ranked tennis player among men, can beat the living crap out of the top ranked woman tennis player.
So you could actually see this on YouTube, what you're saying. And I don't know if it's top 100, but they play doubles. So they have a man and woman on one team and a man and woman on the other team. And when the men hit the ball, it goes by, and I'm talking Serena Williams, her sister, and whoever else is out there. When that ball is hit by the man, it goes by the woman so fast that she doesn't even react to it. She can't even
return the serve.
Exactly.
She can't. Now you use the example of chess, and I didn't hear all of what you said because my phone is having charging problems. But see, with chess, if I'm not mistaken, Women play against men, and women play against women. So it's like what we're saying the sports team should be, or
right.
basketball specifically. But
right.
see, that's where the switcheroo occurs, and it's like we're too stupid to see it. Women are competing, and I don't think, even if you go with chess, if you take the top-ranked man, would the top-ranked woman in chess be any match for him?
No.
How far down would we go before we start to see parity?
The top-ranked woman is number 82. There are 81 men above her.
Shit. Okay. There you go. But will she ever get a chance to put? Okay. Will the top-ranking woman ever get a chance to play, say, the 25th-ranked male? And chess.
So here's the question. Should the guy who's ranked number 80 get a chance to play the top 20 men?
Damn, that's a good – no, because no, not until he earns it.
So why are you asking the question?
Well, come on. You caught me at a weak moment. Well, look here, Ted. I've enjoyed it. I'm going to listen to you. Are you coming on next week?
I am. But wait. But no. But I wasn't trying to be funny or smart with you. I mean, but you understand. You understand your own question, right? And
well, of course
and,
I do. I look. You caught me at a weak moment. Sorry.
But that's the whole game that's being played. You see. What women will do is say, you're only doing this to me because I'm a woman. And if a man is, she's ranked number 82, 83, right? So there are 80 above her. So the man, if she's 83 and a guy is number 80, that guy who's number 80 can't protest and say, I deserve to play men in the top 20. No, you have to earn it. What a woman will do is say, you're discriminating against me, and the only reason you're not letting me play is because I'm a woman. No, earn your way up. Just like the guy who's number 80, he's got to